Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is Thursday, March 9th, 2017. It is 9 a.m. This is the County Administrative Workshop for the Board of Commissioners. Still getting kind of settled in for the day. Only have one cup of coffee this morning, so we'll be a little bit more chill.
Thank you.
I've had a half, so I should be able to keep up here.
Oh, my God. Did I take it yesterday? Oh, God, it followed me around.
Oh, no.
Just imagine that I'm always holding back.
I'm afraid of.
I know. It's kind of crazy. It's actually pretty entertaining if I ever let it go. But it's not kind. It just... So item number one is department business. We have parks and an amendment number one for personal services contract between Josephine County Parks and Awesome Group for Whitehorse Park Master Plan Engineering. Pretty exciting that we've got this, not the necessarily the amendment, take it away, Sarah. That's right.
Good morning, Commissioners. How are you?
Good morning.
I believe I mentioned in my last meeting that this amendment would be coming. As we went into negotiations and put this project out to bid, the chosen company, Ausland, had come in with a quote of roughly $150,000 for the full engineering plan. There's no way that my department would be able to afford that. So we had to negotiate down to around the $50,000 mark in order to make this a viable chunk that we could enter into and start the ball going with Ausland. Yeah, and that would have been for the entire three-phase that you see here on the front. Since we really are only going to be doing constructions in three different phases, we had negotiated with them really leaving out a lot of the bottom portion and only doing the top portion. It was clear in my direction to them while negotiating down to $50,000 that we needed to have phase two and three at the 30% level so that everything could tie in and essentially not cost us a lot more money down the road. But in my oversight, I was too busy, and when they sent their final proposal through at around $50,000, they unfortunately only had included phase one to 100% and neglected to put in the phase two and three at the 30% because that was the only way for them to meet the 50,000. I should have caught it then, but I admit I didn't.
Did this go out to any other engineering firms other than Ausland, or was Ausland low bidder?
So how this one worked in working with legal, the proper way for me to do this one was to get a... request for qualifications, an RFQ. And with request for qualifications, I was clearly told that when we did that, we were not able to ask for a price. We could only ask for their qualifications and jobs. And so then Ausland was the one that we chose as best qualified.
They scored the highest.
They definitely did score the highest. By a decent ways.
Okay.
Yeah, we were most comfortable with them, especially after the reviews of other entities that worked with the ones that had proposed, and so that was the pricing they came back with, and that's where we entered into the negotiations. So as I received my first draft of this, I realized that they really hadn't touched anything in the bottom half, and that would really be a huge aspect, as we have to make sure the water tank that we put in up at the top, that everything we're doing electrical can tie into the rest of everything. So that is the purpose of this amendment. It is to bring phase two and three to the 30% level so that the roads and the infrastructure can tie in to it, which is what you see here on the plan. It still has a little bit of adjusting to be done. And it also did then include a cost of construction, estimated cost chart, and that would be very useful so that when I'm applying for grants, I know actual numbers to be targeting for. So I think the amendment is 100% necessary, and I don't have any concerns right now with my financial state for being able to foot that bill.
I've only been to Whitehorse Park probably twice in my entire life, and it says this is for grading, and phase two says preliminary siding grading plan. Is this going to mean that Whitehorse Park will be not Whitehorse Park for a summer, say, while it's all being updated and revamped?
We are going to enter into construction for phase one, which is the top loop that's circled. Effectively, the bottom loop, the tent sites and RV sites that are currently there will stay open.
Those will stay open.
Yes, and then alternatively, when we enter into phase two, because we can pave this bottom loop, we can keep some sites open up here at the top while we're working down here. So it is functional that we can still use it for recreational purposes.
Is any of phase one there right now?
No.
Okay, so phase two
is the current stuff that you're talking about upgrading down the road, but you're adding phase one.
Phase one is already part of the agreement that is signed. Is that what you're asking?
No,
structurally. What physically is there?
Oh, what physically is there?
I don't think there's much of anything.
Phase two.
So
I've camped in phase two.
Yes, absolutely.
And I've used the yurt. That's not maybe yurt three.
So
I don't know what yurt is. The yurt that's there
is not a color map, but this effectively shows you what exists today. And I only have one copy, I apologize, but it shows you that the bottom portion right now has a handful of RV spots and some scattered tent sites. Everything up top is tent only. So we essentially are adding some road systems, all of the underground infrastructure.
You're going to add the drive-through RVs and all that other stuff on this map here.
Correct. So phase one will rip out the bathroom and shower unit and replace it with a brand new one and then add all of the RV sites.
So essentially, while you were doing phase one, you're really only just cutting out some tent opportunities there.
Yes. Yeah, and the only time we're ever at full capacity with White Horse would be 4th of July weekends and possibly Memorial Day weekends. It's always our last to fill.
Won't be anymore.
No, yeah, right now it has less overnight stays than Innis Riffle, which is an undeveloped gravel bar. So in comparison, it's...
This is really going to change it completely. So it's the only... It's the oldest park we have, I guess, where it was developed in 1952 or something like that. And
so I camped with my family last summer in an RV, and the electrical can't handle an RV.
Really,
so I blew fuses and all this other kind of stuff, and I had borrowed the RV, so that I was devastated to have to go, oh my gosh, I broke it! But anyhow, it was...
How did you like our showers and restrooms?
I did not. Oh, I used your restrooms. I did not use your showers.
Yeah.
And I don't do that. I can drive home quicker and take a shower home than come back. And but I've also, we've rented the yurt out there and camped in tents out there as well. And it could use, even the road itself isn't quite wide enough.
You're not using any of the existing road infrastructure either. I mean, it's all getting redone, right?
There is map number two in this packet, I believe. Yes, you can see the checkered path of the road versus the smooth path of the road. The checkered is the existing path, whereas the smooth gray areas are the new pavement being added.
Yeah.
So you can see that some of it is overlaid, but...
And they're still going to repave it.
Yes, everything's getting a whole 100% makeover.
Okay.
Yeah, and my first grant I'll be applying for this is due April 1st, and I can apply for 50% of construction cost in phase one, which is why it's really important that I am continually to vocalize I need letters of support from anybody and everybody that can write them, either as an individual, behalf of a club, business owners.
How many letters do you have so far?
We have a handful. However, most of them are just random community members. BLM has promised one and is writing one currently. I know the White Horse store owner will be submitting one to us.
Great.
It sounds like one of the bird groups will be also.
For the board to write one?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. Every little piece. I
you
believe
could show
that the
me
tourism
an example
industry.
Of somebody else's. That would be helpful. So
I can send you over some verbiage.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Are you in the floodplain, or is there anything that has to do with floodplain or floodway down there at all?
Absolutely, which was the majority of that extra $100,000 in development that we cut out of this engineering plan. Essentially, all of phase three seems to be within that wetland boundary, and we're going to have to study to even determine where that line is and then create a plan for mitigating damages and being able to add a future programming area and redo the shelter down there. It, quite frankly, it might not happen in the next 5 or 10 years just due to budget. But we'll take it off in chunks and see where we go. This year, the river did come higher than my staff has seen it prior, but the water this year was at the gazebo this year.
Really?
And that was the December flood, I believe.
Wow.
And it's all the wetlands here, so it does make sense. I mean, the old river channel was right here. And then I believe it was like the series of floods in 64 that pushed it away, and then another flood shortly after.
So her match requirement for 50% of construction costs is going to be substantial, but your revenues from the property sales or the property sales revenues dedicated to parks will be, a majority lion's share, I'm sure, of where we'll get the funds for this.
Yeah, and I will be writing more than one grant for this. After you have one grant secured at the 50%, it will be so much easier to get
others and other support. Match.
Yeah, I would hope that the Duck Derby, once we have an actual match, might be interested in helping us with that through Rotary. So that would be one I'd target. But there's other grants, even through Oregon State or Fish and Wildlife, all these different things that we can kind of target.
Okay. So this is just for the amendment. It's about $6,000. I don't think technically you have to go through this process. I think this was good for an update. But amendments under our contracting rules can be done just by the liaison and the manager.
Legal had told me, so you might want to clarify this with them, that Arthur, because you signed the original Arthur. One.
Oh, the full board, obviously. Yeah, because it was over the $50,000.
Correct.
So we'll see.
Okay.
Let's ask Arthur on that one. I don't mind going to the weekly business session, but it's maybe not necessary.
Okay. And he has in the mail, I expect to receive it any day now, his regular signed copy,
right.
Mr. Craig Osland.
What are the other groups that probably need to be kind of leaned on? Both of these people have really good connections to some groups in the community that would be helpful. I'm thinking of the Active Club, first off.
Yeah.
The Steelheaders. I don't know.
Yeah, there's...
If there's anybody that you think we should reach out to, more than likely we know them.
I think there's two different Audubon clubs, which are the bird clubs. I haven't had any communication with them other than...
Sure, you throw that one out there. I don't have any.
I don't have a connection on that one. I'm sorry. I did just send a text to the person who leads camping trips for my church.
Awesome.
And we've been out there as a whole church group, taking the lead.
Yeah.
And so I asked him to get a letter on behalf of the church.
Yeah. Boy Scouts or anybody ever use that park?
Yes, Boy Scouts definitely do a couple times a year.
Would they, because I know Alvin Spears pretty well, maybe they'd send out the letter?
I would love one. I did speak to one of the leaders that was in passing through my office and asked him to send one, but I haven't seen one yet, so it would be greatly helpful.
I'll rattle his cage because he rattles my cage every year about a donation to the Boy Scouts, so I'll rattle it back.
That'd be great. Yeah, and I know on Travel Grants Pass is going to be writing one on behalf of, you know, what this does for business and the economy.
Yeah. Great. Sounds good, Sarah. Well, thank you very much.
Great. And okay. Then I'll be back up here in a while to actually take you through the plan, I believe.
This plan?
I believe...
You have a quarterly update, don't you?
Well, I technically just did a quarterly update, I think, a month ago. And I believe that you guys had wanted to kind of look at White Horse Plan a little more intensely, so I'm not sure if you want me to take you through that in case you have comments for changes, or if this is
the only thing I see is that because one of the play structure is now going to be greatly removed from a lot of the area, but that might be good for some people to have some peace and quiet too.
Currently, the play structure is gone. We did remove that McDonald's playground.
What?
It's gone last as year. Of last summer.
Oh, that's so sad.
It was not.
What are you going to do, Lily?
Yeah, it was not a good thing for your child to be crawling in.
I had 15 kids climbing on that thing. On it.
Yes, on the outside, which is not a proper use of that playground. We did just have the Kiwanis secure through a private party a brand new playground structure that's been sitting in storage for a few years. We're working on getting that transported to our yard right now, and White Horse is where we'd like to reinstall it. I'm just trying to figure out what I have to do for permitting because of its location.
Yeah, and the only issue that we found is that people using the gazebo, if we were on the playground, they didn't like us using the water fountain by the gazebo, and it's like, water, you know, but they
wasn't laid out very well.
Yeah, so they felt intruded upon their rental.
I'll get a hold of the Active Club for a letter of support too.
That'd be awesome. I sure appreciate that.
So as soon as you could get that, just general broad information about White Horse Park and what you're looking the letter looking for the letter to have to say all of us.
Kind of what your vision is and your scope and what we plan to do, and then so they can just respond to that. And
yeah, that'd be really helpful. Thank you, Sarah. Yes. I think we're good as far as the... Is there anything else you wanted to go over as far as efficiently running this?
Yeah. We have a few changes that we're going to be proposing, and we've sat with our Parks Advisory Board, so we have a small list that'll be going through.
Now, you did say one thing that is not a concern to me, but it sparked a question in my mind.
Sure.
We add all of these RVs, pots, and the electrical and everything for them. I'm assuming like Valley Road Park, they're full all year long, and they have a waiting list. Do we anticipate that here?
I believe
you said that there was a couple times, the only time you're really full is Boatneck and 4th of July.
Yeah.
But do you anticipate this being some similar to Indian Mary, where they're booked way ahead?
Yeah, Indian Mary brings over $300,000 revenue all by itself and helps carry quite a few other locations.
Okay.
I anticipate White Horse also seeing that capacity and bringing in a lot of revenue. I see it being used year-round versus Indian Mary really isn't, but it's so far out of town. This one is close to town. Schroeder's the only other campground that's close to town, so I believe it'll be a target. There's also a large percentage, I think around 30% of people, that while they are traveling in their RVs and camping, that they look for wildlife watching and viewing. That is something unique to White Horse that our other locations really don't offer. Lake Sumac would be the only other one.
When you're doing your presentation, I think it would be valuable to say, you know, that Indian Mary is full all the time, and the next step would be to provide more park for them, and this one's probably shovel ready, I guess you'd call it.
Mm-hmm. We're getting there, absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Create the need.
Are we required to check with SHPO, which is the State Historic Preservation Group,
yeah,
because the pavement's over 50 years old?
I believe there's up to 19 different agencies, depending on locations, that I have to get permits from and work from. And I believe that, yes, they are an agency that will receive permission.
If you need an inn up there, some of the smoke jumpers out at the Illinois Valley Airport,
okay,
have some connections with that organization and can maybe be a resource for you.
Okay, awesome. That's great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
If any of you don't want to keep your colored copies, I would love to have them back just to save
one
on printing costs. They're certainly going to be changing between this and next. Yeah, that's okay. You're more than welcome to keep it in case you want to help solicit letters of support for it.
I think
so.
Thank you.
And I think you're dismissed from your update, I would say. I don't think we need one. We just have
no,
one.
No, yeah.
Oh, great. Public Works. Mr. Brandis, Mr. Dijonbe. Good morning.
You get two easy ones and an expensive one.
Okay. Well, let's start with the easy ones.
The first one is an amendment for some exchange funds for a sidewalk project we're doing in Merlin. ODOT did not have enough funds available when we did the last agreement to complete the funding amount, so this is just adding to the amount that was approved through ODOT.
How much? Adding to it from our contribution. They didn't have enough, so we're shoring up the difference.
They are shoring up the difference. So the agreement, I don't remember the total amount. The total amounts were $676. And last time we got $635. So
it's our allocation every year, and we can roll it for a second year if you choose to. So we do have a bit of float depending on how much we.
So it's both an exchange, and that's what it's going for.
Right. And this is the exchange where you've heard this before plenty of times, but it's effectively federal money that the state is able to use on bigger projects. They allocate other money of theirs to us for that. It's their 6% administrative thing to flip it over, but that's still far, far cheaper than if we had used that money as federal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is also through the MPO, so this is using the city's money as well.
Great. So basically, we would do $100 of chip sealing or overlays, and we get $94 back from this exchange.
Cool.
Versus if we ran it through a state project, a federal project, it'd be cost us $150 to do that project.
Yep.
So it's
okay, sounds good.
The second one is every 10 years, ODOT does an agreement with all the counties for their oversized, overweight permits. We did one just a few months ago for the daily trips. These are this agreement is for the ones that ODOT issues a blanket one over the state. If somebody has a truck that they haul all the time at, 100,000 pounds, the legal load's 80,000, they can get a permit from the state just to drive that truck around instead of going every single
time they're moving
from A to B to get the permit.
Are those annual permits?
Those are the annual
permits. Year to year?
Yes, these are the annual permits. So there's no real change in the agreements. They updated them for all the current contract language. But the agreement's basically the same as last time, but it's a 10-year agreement, and the old one's expiring.
Does that follow the truck, or does it follow the company?
I do not know, because ODOT actually issues those permits.
This agreement is actually just with ODOT to facilitate that process
for
us.
Yeah.
And I think we appreciate them doing that. What do they charge for that? I mean, like, if I needed an annual permit for my low boy, and, you know, they're capturing just administrative, I'm sure.
Yeah, it depends on how heavy it is, how many axles it has. There's a huge
scale.
On how to do it. We get, typically, we get $8 for every permit.
Okay. That's not much.
No, it's not much.
Well, it doesn't take us long.
But we don't have to do the admin.
Well, I'm thinking about the...
enforce it or anything.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the impact on the infrastructure that is ours if they were to, you know, proportional...
Do you get any portion of fines when these permits are overshot? In other words, the guy's got 100,000 permit, and he's caught out here on Williams Highway with 110. Potentially there's where the damage is.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of us getting.
And it's probably per axle. You know, if you had 20 axles and if you were over, that doesn't mean anything. But if you've got 4 axles, that's doing some damage.
Well, we did just recently add the Waymaster in on the exchange of Jackson County, so he's working probably, he's been there a half dozen days now. He's had a couple of citations.
Really?
He opts for more of the compliance because you can really blow people up. I mean, you can go drop a $13,000 fine on a guy, and that truck is his retirement, basically. So he tries to say, hey, here's a $300 fine, do this again, it's going to be big.
But yeah.
That's
this brings up the way station. There's a sign heading north on 199 just over by Farmers for that way station. There's no way station there. There's just a turnout. It just says way station ahead closed. What is that?
These,
is that
temporary skills?
Yeah. Do they?
Okay. Temporary skills.
Okay.
Just on a spot check.
Interesting.
They'll set up the sign. You know.
Okay. Yeah. I wondered about that. I don't think I've ever seen anybody, but
yeah.
Cool.
So hopefully, the word's getting out good.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So, item number 3?
That's the contract. You wanna...
Sure. So, this is cross culvert we've got on Azalea Drive. We've got our eye on for about a year and a half. It's in bad shape. It's got spiral cracking on the thing. I guess Trent discovered it probably the end of the summer of 15. So, had it budgeted for this year. Hoped it would limp through until it got drier. It's not. It's been continuing to settle and fail quite a bit, just with the water flow coming up. So we've been throwing cold mix. We finally ended up putting a concrete lid, if you will, on it with some rebar and all that. That seems to be holding. But our feeling is it's not going to make it till summer dry season. So we may have pushed a few more of the board order to close it with a sign. We came in here probably 4 weeks ago to do it. The trade-off being doing it now, they're going to have to put a temporary 36-inch in there to divert that water while they do the work, versus somebody would not have to do that. Flip side being, if the whole thing fails, it would probably cost twice as much to dig that hole back out. So our feeling was we need to go ahead and push to get this thing done, at least catch it over spring break to minimize the disruption to the schools and probably just, you know.
Is that on a buffer out?
It is. Mm-hmm. And it's a long route.
Their alternative is to go back over to Upper River Road and all the way back around.
It's a long route. So we were happy. We got 7 bids in finally. JRT, that was the little bidder, they're pretty qual. They've done some smaller projects for us. They do good work. So everything from that respect was a good response. When's the last time we had 7 bid projects? It's been a while. Yeah.
I couldn't see anything with cost in here. In the 20 pages or so I was scanning through. Or maybe what page do I need to go to?
The cost, legal put the cost on page 9, 20.4.
So the engineer's estimate was about 214. They came in at 260, but the range was 260 up to 550 on the high end. So
that's not as bad as we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, we didn't really know what to expect. You hope to catch companies that maybe have a slot right now while the weather kind of stinks, but they got a week or two they're trying to fill, which is the other thing we were concerned about, putting it off till school's out. Our guys start to get busy come third week of June, and it gets more expensive. So a bit of a trade-off or a guessing game, but this day, all things considered, it's probably as good as we could have hoped for.
And I think if you check with the residents out there, they want it done as soon as possible, even if it's a slight inconvenience.
Yeah. Prior to putting the concrete down, yeah, folks are still blazing through there. We have, you know, lights and jerseys up and the whole thing, and people are bottoming out because they're still, you know, sit slow. I think do we have a flag for 15 and people are hitting it at 40 and bottoming out, so it's something to be done. One of those necessary evils, unfortunately. It will be a long detour for a few days, but
what would be the alternate cost if we waited till the dry season? Because I'm not concerned about people who are going 40 when it's delineated to go 15 and bottoming out. That's not an issue.
The alternate cost, price wise, we could have some savings from not having to divert that creek, but you run into guys potentially being busier. But the fear being if it fails between now and then, it's going to suddenly be twice that cost potentially, because now we've got the culvert fills. Yeah, you've got a sink behind the fills up, it eventually blows out, washes down. So.
Well, that's worst case scenario.
Yeah.
So it's limped along for a while, and this is the worst year we've seen in a long time.
Well, we were literally cold patching it every 3 days.
So you think that it would probably be, we'd say 30%, maybe not anything.
Waiting until June.
I was guessing about 10-15% is what we'd save.
The diversion structure is not a huge structure.
It's not a huge issue.
It's like a 30-inch pipe, and we have the pipe.
It's just temporary.
Right. If you're putting that in one place in the larger culvert and pulling it out once it's in place instead.
Scope of work, how long is it going to take? Start to finish. How long will you have that club?
They're hoping they have 12 or 13 days. We haven't seen a firm construction schedule, but hopefully it won't quite make spring break with both weekends, but hopefully not more than a couple of days beyond.
That's what the last one said, and they got it done sooner. So
yeah, and there's liquidated damage to kick in after the spill, too, so they've got some incentive to move.
Did we put any incentive to getting it done sooner?
Just liquidated damages.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. How many of these situations do we have potentially out there? I mean, you're talking about $250,000.
Yeah.
That goes real quick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And like we've talked about, I'm not comfortable going out and preemptively fixing these unless they look like it's imminent like this.
But we have 100 bridges. I bet we have at least 100 of these culverts, if not twice.
We have 5 or 6 culverts that we are looking at replacing in the next couple of years that are
size. All of our culverts. Those are the ones you think. Sand Creek Bridge, touring 92, tomorrow it fails.
Right. Yeah. Culverts are typically not going to see a level of failure, but this scope and depth is the other killer just because this thing is so far below the road. But yeah, we have dozens of them out there, and you've seen a definite progression. This will be the third one in 3 years. Prior to that, we haven't seen anything in 5.
So it feels as though that the infrastructure is aging and coming to a point where it's like, well, they put them all in 25 years ago. Yeah, or 40 years ago, 50 years ago. And, you know, you could find yourself doing one of these a year that you didn't expect.
Yeah, I was born mid-70s and I'm 40 already, so 60s is older than
you. Whatever, you're old.
When you rate these, you do a traffic count to see how much they're used?
Yeah, I mean, we've got ADTs on all of our major roads. Yeah. And that's, you know.
Since there's any drive from U Creek South, I think that's pretty heavily used.
It would be pretty heavily used, yeah.
What's a situation similar over on Fruitdale? That one seems to be continually needing patched and...
Right, by farmers, or by growers?
Yes.
That is... There's two things at play there. I want to say it's an irrigation ditch and an abandoned...
It was under reconstruction. The contractor didn't do the right thing. It was fixed. It isn't fixed. It's continually having problems.
Yeah. And I think Ops had that on for discussion with the city once it does dry out for the spring.
Great. Dig it up, redo it, whatever it takes. It's amazing how quickly that can go from fine for one day and a really pretty good size hole the next day.
Yeah, you got a couple lifts on there, asphalt will bridge quite a while and cover some sins, and then it all goes
away. Yeah.
We were faced with the same thing up there on Savage Street Bridge. I mean, for Pete's sake, there were big holes in this thing. I went, well, I think we're going to put that project off. And I said, yeah, somebody fall in that hole, plus there was no sidewalk. People in strollers going out into the traffic lanes to get across that.
Yeah.
And they kept putting it off and off. Finally, we got that done this year. Finally done.
Crazy. Okay. That's an admin thing. So, do you feel comfortable speaking to these?
I think all three of them are good.
No, I mean, do you feel comfortable speaking to them? Two of them are admin items, so they can either have Chuck come and articulate the finer points, or can you do it? You got it?
It is during work hours.
I think we can get it.
It's not
a high. Well, in that case, why didn't you say so? If you'd like to come and talk and explain that, it'd be great.
I'll defer to you. If you want me there, I'll be there.
I think I'll go ahead and do it if that keeps you out doing something else, because I know you're a busy guy.
Okay.
I'm not near as busy as you are.
I don't know.
And I have to be there.
That's true.
That sounds good.
Okay.
All righty. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
You're good. Thanks.
When's your next report, Rob? Because you've got, you know, the
next quarterly for here.
Yeah, you've got the major thing
going on. I'm not
sure
if we can put on an out of the sequence one if you want to.
No, I just want to.
We haven't had one yet, have we?
I might have been on the one that was canceled 2 weeks ago. Didn't this one got canceled for something?
Right. No quorum, maybe.
Got it.
So, you want to get me back on?
Yeah, I think that'd be. We'll work on that. I'm interested in what your yearly, you know, because you've got some big stuff going on.
An expensive year.
Yeah, an end of year report style, you know, calendar year, and then
we still need a report.
You got your STP kind of thing and stuff.
Sure. The winter storm cost. I'd like more info.
$506,000 last Friday.
Okay.
That we've done. There's $500,000 sitting there yet to do.
Okay. So if you said $1 million in damage is safe without you,
not getting Sand Creek, right? Yeah. And that's what Sand Creek being paid for by the state. So Camp Bad's 2.6.
Wow, great.
And we have a $2 million reserve.
Yeah.
Head.
Morning, Mr. Meltzer. How are you?
Well, the good news just never stopped.
Okay, so just for the benefit of the new commissioners, so we get lottery funds for economic development, and then we get to, at the current, they're not really budgeted specifically because the program is relatively new to the county, or I should say, the program's not new, but my administration involvement with it is very new. So there was some, I don't want to call it a slush fund, but there's a pot of money set aside for open requests that come in during the year. So the ones we're going to review today are coming out of that pot of money that was set aside for as-needed things as they come up.
And we don't spend the money as we get it. We wait until we get it to spend it. So we operate about a year behind revenues. Ideally, that's the goal for economic development funds, because we don't ever really know how they're going to be. You know, it's kind of like shared receipts. You don't know what it's going to be because we don't have
control.
They're
not guaranteed.
No.
Yeah, right. And on top of that, I think at some point it'd be good to have the conversation of, do we want to start being strategic with other community partners with these economic development monies? If we pulled between city, county, city, and said, what could we maybe do bigger versus nickeling and dime little projects along the way?
Right. So my quarterly report is next month, and we'll have more numbers on economic development, and I want to go into some detail on that, how it should be spent, looking forward to next year, and those who we partner with at the current time, because there is some of that partnership going on. Mm-hmm. So, but for today, though, we're just going to look at two requests that came in. The first one is from the Chamber of Commerce, and what they do is every 3 years they do a business retention and expansion survey. And they go out and meet with the businesses to kind of get a pulse on how we're doing with business and economic development. I actually sit on that committee, so I would be one of them involved in that surveying process. So what they're looking for this year is, and we give them money historically for the last two surveys. This one's, the price has gone up every year, but they're basically looking for $4,000 to do the 2017 survey. That's not quite a third of the cost of the survey. The city typically kicks in a little, as you saw in the letter that accompanied it. They did get a $1,000 donation from Pacific Power, and then the chamber, who represents a lot of the businesses, also pitches in money to get that done.
Have you guys ever been involved in that from the city's perspective?
I've seen the report, but we weren't involved with it.
They utilize a lot of volunteers. Steve Rowe is big in that, and they... You know, it's a pretty thorough, it's not just a 5-minute conversation, it's like 75 questions or something. It's pretty substantial. I've been critical, as I always am, of most everything, and the idea that it's all great to have this survey, but what are you doing tangibly to address the issues that you see as a result of this survey? Because if you're not doing anything, I really don't they don't need to be bothered to ask. And so the last time they said that one of the biggest issues was family transitional planning for family-owned businesses. You've got Fire Mountain Gyms and Taylor Sausage, and there's a half a dozen others out there that we're all aware of, that the people who founded this or inherited it are transitioning out, and they need a succession plan. And so BR&E is set up. The last year, several with the chamber kind of opportunities for these people to start talking about it, how to structure the conversation either with your kids or whatever. We're going to sell it. We're going to have somebody come in. And I thought that was really productive. There was one other element that was a red flag is what they call them, and they addressed that one as well, is all the other underlying red flag kind of things that they can just handle. But if there's something that comes back that really is a reoccurring issue on a major scale, that's a big deal for Rowe Motors, and Grousecraft is going to be looking at that. People aren't going to live forever, and it's really hinging on the Kurt Krause, Steve Rowe, Ross Rowe, Chris and Stuart Friedman, Chuck Taylor. What happens when those people are no longer there, but these businesses employ hundreds, cumulatively thousands of people in our community? We need to start working on that. So
I based that in my own business on a very small scale. I've been here for 37 years.
Yeah.
And when you look, I look back on when I went into business, there was radio stations, real estate, restaurants, car lots, you name it, that all fired up at the same time, and they're all gone, and I'm still here. And that, and you have to understand why, and then you say, well, if it lasted this long, and I've got people in my organization that have just as much time and a section of their life involved in that heating company as I do. Mm-hmm. So I offered it to them. And that was my succession. And we're a corporation, so we were able to do that.
Wow.
And you saw it with Wheeler Toyota, now Grants Pass Toyota. Mm-hmm. That was family owned, and mm-hmm. family was ready to be
yeah.
done. And I did see, I had an individual chamber membership. Not as an organization, just individually had a membership to the chamber. And one of the things I saw in my paperwork was the training they were offering that was in response to the BR&E survey that they had last done. And I don't know how, I know they've tried to do different advertising and stuff as far as meeting some of those needs, some of the smaller businesses, but I think that is a bigger issue economic-wise, county-wise, that we're going to be facing. Even keeping tailors here has been an effort.
Yeah, we hate to lose any one of the businesses you named. We hate to lose them.
Yeah.
So the chamber has been very responsive to that. As you may or may not know, they actually brought in a professional speaker.
Yeah, they've had a couple of seminars.
Yeah, who deals with succession planning, and it was well attended this past year. So they did good.
Yeah, I think that has to continue. So it can't just be I'm not on the BRE anymore. I think it's you, Dan. So I think carrying that, championing that effort of making sure that there's a very distinct line between what we find and what this organization is addressing. Because I'd rather spend twice as much on solving the problem rather than just knowing about it.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
It doesn't do any good if you're not going to deal with it.
We spend a lot of energy and time on this survey, and then years pass.
Do the survey? Do they analyze the survey and say these are the five
they do. I've read all. I think there's been five reports after. They've been doing this. This is probably the sixth round of these. I've read of them all, and it seemed like they're reoccurring issues. And workforce development has been there since I think day one. They didn't have a lot of these businesses that the people aren't there. And so, what's the chamber? What's the community? What's already? What's us? What are we doing to fix that problem for these businesses? And what are the businesses doing to partner with us? Say, okay, well and good. What are you going to do to help us help you solve that problem? So, I think they're making progress on it. Just somebody's got to continue to be that champion of.
I noticed that at the legislative meetings for the chamber, and I don't know if it's in the BRA. Is Rural Community College at the table anymore? They used to be, but now they're
after
not.
Brandon Bridle left for Texas, I haven't seen the RCC rep, and that's one of the things
we
do have an RCC rep that attends our Shreddy meetings and our SBDC meetings and occasionally at the chamber meetings. So they are still very engaged in the three groups that I deal with, specifically on economic development. One of the, before I took this job, I the first thing I had researched was the BRE survey to see what the business pulse was for Josephine County. And it was pretty eye-opening to me, and it actually drives the work I'm doing now. And next week I'm hoping to come in to you with another request for some of these funds. But the biggest takeaway I got from that survey, which drives my daily work, is the business community said, your planning processes stink. It takes too long. You don't know what you're getting into. You're told one thing. You come back, you're told another thing. And that was a big part of that last BNRE survey. So it's not just something that sits there. We actually use it to guide what we're doing.
I'll hold that factor. I have a question for you.
Sure. Okay. So this would, Commissioner DeYoung, you had commented about, you know, does somebody prepare the findings and stuff? Over half of the funds actually go to pay a professional to compile them in, you know, to boil it down and compile it into a readable document, a simple document. So
you're asking $4,000 would be our contribution.
$4,000 is our contribution, right. And that's what they're asking for.
City
contributes. $4,000 to do that.
City contributes, I think, the same. We match usually, and then the chamber. I think those are the three big funders, right?
Right, and then we did get a donation this year as well, $4,000.
But most of the interviews and stuff are done in pairs by volunteers. So I think last year they had strived for maybe 100 and they did 75. I mean, last year. Last
3 years
time they did it. I think that's the number, and which is good. 75 is a pretty
that's
good. That's a pretty robust.
Usually not that high.
I would say, too, that, you know, the price has gone up than it was, but things do go up every, you know, I mean, that's expected. But something the county did get out of with the BRE project this year was Steve Rowe actually paid for the BRE team. So there's five of us. He actually paid for us to get nationally certified in BRE. So we took the classes and got the certification at no cost to the county. Steve picked up that entire class. So that
he's,
was another.
He's quite a guy.
He really is. So. Anyway, so that is the first request. I don't know if I want
to. Yeah, not to belabor it, but I think it's important that sooner rather than later, you've been here for a little while, you need to submit an economic development budget like we've done in the past, but usually the board just came up with it. And we've got, I think it'd be important for when you do that, you present what the board used to do and then what you plan on doing. Because if you know much about economic development and those funds, they're statutorily governed, kind of. I say kind of because I really don't care what the state's going to recommend for us to do with those dollars. Washington County, I think, and I could be wrong, but there is a county in the state that just puts all of those funds into the general fund. I only use that as an example of, I believe we have full discretion, having given the state the authority to regulate lottery locally in the first place, and in return for that, they gave us 1% of the revenues, which is the worst deal ever possible. It just seems ridiculous, and then they want to tell us how we can spend our money. But statutorily, there's four county departments that you can spend that just outright on. It's airports, parks, fairgrounds, and planning. And so if historically we've given up to $30,000, $40,000 per program, and recently, I think maybe 2 or 3 years ago, we reduced it to $20,000 straight allocation to those programs on average, and then they could apply for $20,000 in addition to that for a specific program that was dedicated to economic development. I think that's worked pretty well. It's been a much better balance, but there's finite dollars there, and just want to make sure that we're getting the bang for the buck. And I think we've tangentially talked about that for a year, so it's
sure. And I can go into more detail next week when I come back with another request. There's not that much funds there for me to actually budget. They've all pretty much been allocated. I don't know if now's the right time to hand this out, but I do just have an example of what I inherited, I guess.
Well, I think from my perspective, you know, when I was here, when you were hired, and my attitude is those that budget having been moved from Arthur's office to yours, you start from scratch. You tell us what you think. That's
right.
We've never had your position before, and you've been here long enough to say, you know what, I think this could be done better.
And I'm going to.
Right.
So next, I'm trying to get some bids to come back to you in time for next week. If not, it's going to be the week after, which will pretty much use up all of that money. And then, as Commissioner Hare knows, I want a big chunk of the next round to go towards the Illinois Valley Industrial Park. We need to start investing in infrastructure to further economic development instead of these small pots that are going to
Where is the Illinois Valley Industrial Park?
By the airport.
By the airport?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me the other day that Philip Morris or somebody bought the old crop, rough and ready, that whole thing, some tobacco company. I can't imagine what they're... They're still in the smoke business, I would imagine. I can't imagine what they
do. Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not. I've heard a lot of rumors that Philip Morris has been buying land under different names. And I have heard that that old industrial site is going to be used for growing marijuana.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Philip Morris was in.
I don't know if that's true, though. So.
Yeah.
But
for me, I would... I'm going to reiterate that I think it's important that starting your philosophy for how economic development should be accomplished in the county, and we talked about this when you got hired and we've had subsequent conversations. We have a new board, and I think it's important that you understand mine. It's infrastructure that facilitates the benefit for the entire community. I don't want to do grants. In fact, I'm not even sure of what we're doing right now for grant money. For small loans and stuff is what we should be in the business doing. I would rather spend that $100,000 fixing something that provides an opportunity for anybody or everybody in our community, be it broadband or the fire suppression at the industrial park in the Illinois Valley or what have you. Infrastructure is what I think we need to be investing in as opposed to... But I don't know what their philosophy is, and I think that's important that either you spend, not necessarily here, but maybe one-on-one a conversation about that, so that you're not proposing something that totally is on the wrong track of where they want to go or where they're starting from, and then you can convince them that, no, wait a second, my plan is better or it's really solid.
Yeah, I'll go back to Illinois Valley and Industrial Park, and if there is a big fish circling the hook, and then we go take all of our big lump sum money and go in there to try to make it, attractive for smaller industry or a gun manufacturing or something of that sort, then all of a sudden the big guys come in and say, hey, no, that's worth it to us, but we're going to change that whole thing. I don't know if there's a time frame that we would wait to see if that big fish ever grabs the hook. Are we a year out on these? Like, on your plan saying, yeah, we're going to take next year, we're going to take the whole $100,000 and we're going to put it into... broadband or fiber optics or something, getting it all out there. How long does it take for these things to... Forever?
So if we started now, we'd be fine. I figure you can always... That's why I'll always instruct, let's do a parallel track. Let's start it, and if we have to pull back because somebody else just wrote us a check for $100,000, no worries. No big deal. We'll get there. But if we put off thinking about it or starting it, it'll never happen.
Well, and I know I've mentioned to you a couple times, and we just haven't got it on the calendar, that I want to touch base with you and have that opportunity. So I think you and I just need to get on the calendar. And
so your staff has access to my calendar, and they usually schedule the commissioner meetings with me. So
okay.
If you want to just go through Wendy or Terry.
Great.
Commissioner Young, just to answer that real quick, businesses are looking for a shovel-ready site. They don't want to wait to have it rezoned or any of that. So we need to have it ready. Just yesterday, I sat in my office again with a business who's looking for property now. And for the second time in a month, I have nothing to give them. And it's very frustrating because I know the business we're losing. So we got to cut the cord and just start investing.
Okay,
but what would it take to get a property ready for them? Is there one thing that's a barrier that would get something ready that we can help with? Whether it be electrical, or maybe they need this, or maybe they need... I mean, those are the ways that I see that we can partner with to remove those barriers.
The biggest barrier we have is that we lack industrial space, vacant industrial properties, and the spec buildings that they can move into. They're not looking to... People do not want to be out in the middle of Merlin anymore because of some of the activity that's going on out there. A lot of them don't like going as far north as Merlin, but they will look at it. But there's really nothing left in the Merlin Industrial Park, which is something I want to talk to you about next week, with one of the buildings, county buildings out there that's somebody was interested in, but it's being occupied for non-industrial use. So bottom line is there's nothing available in the county. You go into the city, and there's very, very little available in the city. So where do you go? Jackson. And that's where they're going.
My frustration, I'm going to say about three things here. What my frustration is that if I ask you or the city of Grants Pass, do you have an inventory of empty buildings in Grants Pass? No. Because I'll use Don Carter and Bud Hopp on N and M Street Industrial. They have that huge Familiar Northwest building, gated yard, the whole Marietta. It was ideal. And we have people coming in, and boy, we're checking with economic, we're checking with the planning, and boy, do we have anything? No, it's always build. Make it ready to build. But yet there's an awful lot of stuff that is available. Raise food plan.
Well, isn't that a commercial real estate agent's job? I don't know that's our job.
I thought our job.
Right.
But they're still going to her to say, do you have business land for
me? They're going to her,
and we're saying no, and they have it.
She should be able to steer them somewhere rather than saying, I'm sorry, we don't have anything. It may not be in your wheelhouse, but there's got to be a list somewhere that whether, if just because it can, then where the city does it is, we're not interested unless we can put them out on the other side of the creek at the industrial park.
Right.
So we can have somebody pay for the pumping station it's going to take to make that whole place shovel ready. Mm-hmm. And that's where they steer people there, and then they steer them away because they can go right over White City. They blade it off, pour a slab, put up a metal building, and within 90 days, they're up and operational with a neon sign out front. Going from that standpoint, I'm frustrated. That's number one. Number two is we continue to say that we want to have this big fish, this big industrial fish, come in. But in my mind, we're always going towards the river because we live in a valley. And when you move dirt around, it gets expensive in comparison to White City. Right. I would like to say part of our portfolio is we will be your bedroom community. Go ahead and build in White City, but we want you to live here because you're going to spend your money where your kids go to school. And it's a 26-mile jaunt from there to good therapy to relax at the end of the day. And we miss that. We want the industry and the employment opportunity only. We don't want to take what I think is actually the wheat. We don't have it, and those big companies like Kodak or whoever's over there, we should be approaching their staff and saying, you need to live in Grants Pass. Come and see what the difference in lifestyle is between Grants Pass and Medford. And there's places up around the Portland area that, by golly, they don't have any industrial whatsoever. And they're bedroom communities, and if you look at their per capita income, that's where the money is.
So, if I can just respond to that real quick.
Yes.
So,
good part.
Both of them. First of all, as the business listing goes, and Commissioner here is right, you know, we really have to watch it that we're not competing with the real estate business because they do not, that causes a real rub. However, I will say this. The business advocate for the City of Grants Pass, myself, and their marketing guy, John Bowen, we have discussed the fact that we need lists or inventories that need to be updated. So that is something we're actually meeting after I leave here again.
I mean, you wouldn't be competing with the realtors if you were saying, you need to go, this is where you
correct
can go because I think it's already there, rather than us saying, no, we're not interested unless you can take a piece of ground that we have provided for you and put up a brand new building.
The biggest challenge we have with that, with doing a list, is there's a lot of properties out there that are for sale by owner that don't want to, they want the sole profit, so they don't want to go through us, they don't want to tell us what they want for it, and some of this data, which you really can't tell a business, hey, I have a piece of property, I have no idea what it costs, you know, I have no idea what the conditions are. So it gets a little challenging, but we understand that.
Tomorrow it's old. They don't want us in the business of actually having that kind of a thing. That's not our job. I really struggle with the idea that we're going to act as this facilitator in a sense for there's a private business that has a, and they don't want, then they don't want to. You know, I really struggle. I don't know how effective that is for us to do that. It may make sense in a very urban area where you have a defined area and there's five pieces of property or something like that. We have potentially hundreds of different options of varying degrees of readiness. I don't know. I struggle with the idea that that's our our core competency.
We need our own industrial land space that we can offer.
Well, yeah. That's where I wonder where a water suppression system at Illinois Valley Fire or Illinois Valley Airport would then that industrial park is available.
Right.
Or the sewer system at North Valley, so that now we can expand opportunities up there. You know, potentially if this levy passes, the fact that a resident deputy would be going in the North Valley area could also change the outcome of the potential of people wanting to expand up there. And so, to me, those are two barriers that we have control over and need to focus on, of the sewer system and the water suppression system. And now we have buildable lands.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Mr. Meltzer. I just, it feels like it's unattainable, and then it's going to become old. And one more thing for you to try to update or keep in touch with, as realtors change, as property owners change. But if we could focus, like Commissioner Morgan said, on saying, go look. We appreciate, these are four realtors that we think are going to specialize in your area. Here's your names and numbers. And when you find out what they have, we have also four different opportunities we'd love to show you too.
Right. And Siretti has offered to take, if we have county-owned industrial space, they have offered to take, and they have an architect who will draw a spec building for that size property, so that we can hand it out and say, this is the type of building that would fit on here, this is what it would look like, these are the costs, etc. But again,
when
you don't have
great.
Any land, we're paying for a service that we can't take advantage of because we don't have the land. But that's, we'll talk more about that. And the other thing I just wanted to comment on, which I'll bring to you about the budget community, to show how many people are leaving the Grants Pass area to go work in other communities, we actually have that data to show you. One thing we have to keep in mind, you know, and I'm a regional player. Put your business over here as long as we're getting some money out of it. But one thing we have to keep in mind is businesses pay more in taxes than residences, and they generate less in services. So financially for a community, we're always better off having businesses versus residents if we want to get ahead. We have to have a balance. But
our top
businesses
ten
really
taxpayers tax. Are businesses in Josephine County.
Well, they're always going to be.
They have the bigger square footage. I wanted to ask a question about this list. When Sarah had presented her parks on Lake Selmac, we had talked about the $50,000 from here, and you had mentioned we need to find a different funding source for that. There's a very use because there's $100,000 just on parks on here, and two projects. So I know we had talked about.
We're working on that.
Okay.
And I think what I was waiting for is to see some of the revenues generated from these property sales to see if those are going to be able to be the first place to go as opposed to economic development, which can be used for a lot of different things, but you can't use those property reserve revenues dedicated for parks for anything but this kind of activity. So
so with this first one,
that makes sense.
I don't know if you can approve that here or the one for the BRE survey or if what.
Technically, we could probably approve both of these here. They don't have to.
Okay.
They're actually at our level. But
oh, yeah.
I'm glad you brought them to the board. I think I'd want them to fully endorse the idea that we do this. We've been doing this. I think as long as the survey has that element of, you know, what are you going to do once you get that information, then I'll keep supporting it. But as soon as that, it was not part of, when I first took office, that was not. You could not see a tangible connection between what they would learn in the survey and what their marching orders were going to be for the following year. Now, they're really tight, I think. So,
we expressed, coming out of the City PAVE Committee, where we were doing audits and all that kind of stuff, that was one of our biggest frustrations. What good does it do to find out where your areas of improvement are if you don't turn around and immediately start implementing some of those? And I agree with that philosophy.
We couldn't see any. No successes.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything. I mean, we've been looking at it for 7 years.
So
it still sits at the table. I can't be there anymore.
We did get our Siretti update last month where she mentioned she was going to be asking for the support of the EDGE project as well. So we recently got that project presented to us and. I'm familiar with that one already.
I'm supportive. I mean,
I am too.
Okay. So I do have the originals here that would need to be signed and returned to me. I don't know how you want to do this. Motion, second, you, approve.
Yeah, if that's okay
I'll
with you guys.
Approve both.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the second.
I'm in on both of them.
Wendy, I'll give these to you to have them signed and returned to me then.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0.
Thank you very much.
For the EDGE program, I think the other thing is, and she did talk on this, but that's like the implementation of the survey. How is the EDGE, being distributed? We've got it like here. This seems ad hoc, not as part of a campaign, but
yeah.
how do we integrate it into the community and have it most effective? I think the concept is great. It's just the delivery on it.
Sure. So what they currently do, you will see them posted different places.
Is it
places.
On our website? Is it?
It's not on our website, which, as you know, I've
yes,
historically have an issue with our department website because I don't think it's professional. But Shreddy has them. They're in the businesses. They're on their marketing materials, on their summits and meetings. That
the
they
airport.
Do for the public.
If you
right.
get off the airplane,
they'll
right.
hire them.
Right past them.
So for the community, they have these events that you can see and hear the speeches and interview them, and they're talking about their businesses, and then they're plastered forever. For the business community that they're trying to attract, they actually give them materials that have those EDGE profiles in them, testimonials and things of that nature. So.
So what are you doing to improve your website now that you bring it up? I mean, you're going to ask for a contract to have somebody do it, or?
I would love to. I was told that we can't. It's
by who?
This
is the only people that matter.
Okay, so then we need to revisit it with this board.
Great.
So because what I did do is I actually had staff about a month ago through and try and start cutting out the fat because there's just a bunch of stuff on there that nobody cares about, to be honest with you.
And nobody but wants to open a PDF.
No, and it's just not professional. We need a separate economic development, something I've done.
I don't know
before.
About separate. I just want the idea of what are you looking for, and can it be accommodated by the platform that we have right now? And if not, then you get your separate website. But don't come with saying I need a separate website mm-hmm. until we've really addressed whether or not this platform is totally inadequate and it's actually ability to morph to what each individual department. That's why we bought it when we did, because it should be able to facilitate that. But I don't want it to hold your department back. It feels like you guys are have some momentum and you're going in a huge direction, and the website really needs to be the place where people can come and go with online permitting for building and safety and what you're looking to try to do with planning and project management, and then just having this information at the fingertips is going to be so huge.
Sure.
Don't let the website hold you back. Ask for economic development funds to say, we're going to invest
that.
In this, lean into it, and hire somebody who's a professional to develop a
yes.
professional site. So the end user, the consumer, the permit requester out there, it's easy for them. That's what we want, is for them to feel like planning, building, and safety, and everything you do is just at the click of a button.
I'm so glad to hear that, because when I do, the goal next week is to bring in that online permitting software
Great.
Bid, the scanning bid, the customer service bid, which is a lobby so you don't have to stand in line for 20 minutes waiting to drop off a package or something. So
yeah.
If those bids are all final, I have two of them. If I want to bring them as a package.
Okay.
If they're done, that's what we'll hear next week. If not, it'll be the week after.
That's fine. So,
and then the money's gone.
So updating the website is pretty key.
Well, and this isn't, we've been talking about our communication with the community and how important it is. I've been trying to take on Facebook as much as I can, which I actually had someone in Facebook land say, go to sleep now.
Right.
So if the public's telling you, hey, thanks, but go to bed, take some time for rest, it is something that we need to, I think, coming up with our strategic plan is important. And so hopefully sooner than later, you and I can sit down and just touch base, and you and Dan can have an opportunity to do that as well. So just for the sake of, do we actually have the abilities that we're on the same page?
Sure. Commissioner DeYoung and I were able to sit down for a little while, which was helpful.
Okay, so I'm the only one who hasn't?
You are.
Okay.
When is the committee proposal that the city approved a couple weeks ago is going to be before us?
I have sent legal a couple of emails on it, and I still haven't.
You don't need to go to legal yet.
They have the committee format and the resolutions and everything. So what we did was I sent them the ones from the city
mm-hmm.
and asked him to tweak it for the county.
Okay.
That's on our discussion.
Maybe we could have a parallel track of them working on the specific language of that, and we get briefed on what does it look like, because I haven't actually seen what the structure is. Commissioner Walker was supposed to present that before the city got approval to go forward and adopt it, because the board needed to say, yeah, we agree. What if they approve something and we're like, we don't want people with brown eyes on this committee?
Good. I'm in big
I need to come up with an example.
This one's in our favor, Lily.
I don't want people with three legs. Okay, so there we go. You know what I mean? And if that is going to be way cumbersome.
Sure.
We don't have one committee right now. We have the city's committee, and we're going to sign on to it. Which doesn't sound like a partnership to me.
No. Well, and I can tell you, just on that note, a friend of mine has been hired as the next career teacher at Grants West High School, someone I went to college with. And she and I have been talking for a couple of years of how do we change our workforce problem of addressing our kids younger, partnering with the schools, partnering with the college to get a workforce, you know, and how we have to get the kids before we lose them. How do we get them before they stop graduating, you know, that kind of thing. And when the city was going to have their committee formation workshop, I saw it on the agenda, so I said, hey, go there. You won't be able to talk, but afterwards, talk with a couple city councilors. This would be a great spot for you. While she sat there, they eliminated the school district position and literally insulted the school district's participation in the program. And I had somebody who was wanting to come to the table.
Get out of town.
I'm not kidding. So, and this is someone who doesn't complain about other people. She's always a solution finder. She's a doer. And she was so insulted. And she wanted to get that video in class, you know, just put it out there everywhere for everyone to see how we're not being team players. And so I think it's more important as ever that we as a county are the ones that are leading the charge of how do we take care of the county as a whole. How do we make sure that our rural kids are as much a part of this and that they have a future and that we're making sure that it isn't driven just by what the city wants, that we're looking at, represent the whole county.
Can we bring her onto our team and then enforce it on the city?
I think what I've felt is we're going to approve what the city is, and then the committee is going to need to amend and have direction from the board to say, you know, approve what it is, because otherwise going back to them for a change order would be really cumbersome. But the committee will have the authority, in my opinion, to structure it and ask the city and the county to redo that. I don't know the best way to do it. The best way would have been that we both had a proposal, a draft, and we say, yes, both of these are fine, and we move forward in a parallel fashion to approve them. But that didn't happen, so... Not sure why, but that's frustrating. The other thing that I wanted to mention while you're here, Julian, don't take this as not wanting to come back to us, but there was a survey that the city did with their users of the program, that community development program. We've talked about that. I don't know. I completely endorse your idea of not hosting it in the same fashion, maybe doing a BR&E style, or maybe even tailoring the BR&E to, have you had an exchange with, you know, the county? Those ones are not, what do you call it, to where they don't know. I don't want to know who the responder is. You know what I mean?
Anonymous.
I just want to know, what are those reoccurring issues that you inherited, not your fault,
sure,
from users of the past that you want to lean into and fix? I know you already know some of those, but you're not going to know what you're going to know if you ask anonymously and they're not responding directly to you.
Sure.
So I don't know how to structure that the way you want to go about it, but I want that done this year sometime soon.
So Shreddy did talk about doing that for the region, because these issues that we have, that we discovered through the Chamber BR&E survey, are the same ones that's coming up on the Shreddy surveys.
Yeah.
It's the planning process,
right,
which, as we know, is a problem. So they were going to do a survey. There was a lot of discussion about it and the type of data you get and that it's not reliable, etc. I think we can do something.
Yeah.
I have to be honest with you. I personally would rather wait till we get the processes in place and say, we've made some changes. Where are we still having deficiencies? Where are the problems? How are we
okay
doing? What are we doing good? What are we doing
how
bad?
Are we doing?
Just don't want to spend a lot of time on something that isn't broken if they tell us, you know, We like waiting 6 months.
I wish well, we already know that part's coming
you know what I mean?
From the BRE and the SRED survey.
Yeah.
So. One of the things that I noticed, and it came from across the pond, that building safety had a thing, oh, we're going to bring all the contractors in and they can voice their opinion. They will not tell you. I like the anonymous
right.
side of it because they are not good. Anyway, I talked to this Glover over there, and I said, how'd that turn out? You know, they're all really happy.
Yep.
They're not going to tell you what is wrong with your department because they think you're going to just, oh, I'll just drag this guy out, or I'm going to send that to inspect now. I've been the recipient
of that. That's
exactly
what I was told to do.
Well, I've been the recipient of that. In my old, you need to do this and this. And then I go, I have a house on the corner of Midland and Washington Boulevard. How did you get away with that? Well, I don't know. We're equal with everybody. So as I like the anonymous thing.
Yeah,
I really
do.
I like that a lot. You'll get a lot better. You'll get a response that I think you can use in decision making. You won't if you're face to face.
I agree.
Great. Thank
Anything
you
else?
So much. Nope.
Okay.
Good
See
luck.
You next week.
So we will talk soon.
Yeah.
We will. Please.
And I'll just give you a rattle after the meeting because I have one that came to mind while we were talking when you were talking process.
Okay. Do you want me to wait? Can you just call me after? Because I have to get over to the city. So.
Well, you just, okay. We'll touch bases. I just wrote it down, so it just came to mind.
Okay, Lily, and I'll make sure something gets scheduled.
I think you're already on, but I just need to ask you about this.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Arthur, it's all you, Mr. O'Hare.
Yeah,
yeah sure. Let's go with Ryan first. I'm sorry. My bad. Yeah, I skipped something.
Well, I'm flexible. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Real good.
Good.
How about yourself?
Excellent.
Good. Well, we got a few projects going on. I thought I'd give you a quick rundown on a few of them. Camera project at the jail is going pretty well. We got about half the cameras, about 60 cameras installed. So far, we've ran about 20,000 feet of data line. Not counting the electrical and so forth. We've also ramped up on the intercom project, got that going. So the jail's a busy place right now, pretty time-consuming, trying to keep all the systems up and running so there's no liability, you know, while we're transferring over.
Are you on schedule?
On schedule.
In your, you say time-consuming, are you?
Yeah.
You're not falling behind, or you're doing okay?
No, we're actually probably 2 to 3 weeks ahead of schedule as far as the cameras go. The intercom project's right on time. So it's going well. If you have any questions in regards to the project, I'd be happy to answer them. Card access, we're looking at getting card access extended from the jail system into our courthouse, justice building, as well as juvenile. Corrections. So hopefully I'll be bringing something forward soon as far as a capital project.
That'd be great. We started with it down in the assessor's office, and there's infrastructure there that will serve the greater, when we apply it here. Courts has their own system, and it's not the same as ours, which is just fine, but
I heard assessors is not compatible with the jail one. Is that not true?
The system may not be, but the infrastructure
Perfect.
Is.
Yeah. We'll basically change the card readers out, and everything else will work.
Stay the same.
Yeah.
So, I think it'll be really helpful when we have a staff person who either left or commissioners, electeds, whatever. We don't want to have to go around and rekey everything. You guys don't have keys probably anyway, but you might have a key. So there won't be a need for a key. I don't like the idea as a commissioner when I want to go into a room. I have to call him, and it could be after hours or something. I should have the ability to have, a castle key that says, no, I'm a commissioner. There's really nowhere I shouldn't be able to go and
I agree.
And get in there in an emergency.
I don't like that I can't get an ambassador.
Well, we did that on purpose. We didn't want you throwing parties on the weekend.
No.
Yeah, really.
No, I don't want to.
She has all her friends out front.
Oh,
the invitation list out there.
I'm sure they're swell people.
You know what? I can easily go over there, and I at least two or three people I know, and can give hugs to. So
yeah.
It's not far stretch.
Yeah, and the just keying and rekeying blocks is labor intensive for the county. I have it right here in front of me.
What's the timeline on that one?
I'm hoping within the next month or so we'll have something to bring forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm thinking about around here. I mean, the door handles, these are historic-ish.
Yeah.
I'm not really interested in us damaging.
Yeah, and this first go-round is going to primarily be exterior envelope and entrances to get that locked down and secured. But we'll also be looking at what it's going to take to do the interior. And most likely what we're going to be doing is adding an electric latch so all the original hardware can stay.
Oh, okay.
But the strike itself down below will be changed out. So.
That's great, especially on some of them. I mean, we don't even need it necessarily on that door, but it would be nice. I don't want to lose that.
It's kind of like, no, let's not cut another hole in the granite the marble, rather. You know, it's like, what do we can preserve historically that's including our crazy doors with their weird locks?
Yeah, yeah. And
I like
my thought process is to make it get the install done and not even know it's changed.
Great.
You know, other than a little card reader on the outside of the door.
Cool.
So, obviously areas that are open during the day, you know, clerk's office, maybe this door, they don't need a card reader because they're open to the public. So it's more of the secure areas we'll be looking for. The Dimmick or A Street building, we completed the clearing out of the old A Street building. I don't know if you've ever walked through it. It was quite an undertaking to get it cleared out for the for them to start with the
remediation.
This
first phase that they're starting on the 24th is just an evaluation, a further evaluation, or you had provided the Catholic Charities evaluation thing that saved us $6,000 that it kept there 2001. There's a one in it.
Yeah.
2001 evaluation of the A Street building's hazardous.
That's the old hospital.
The old hospital. 1911 building.
Yeah. On the 20th, they're going to start excavation of the underground storage tanks that are still on the property.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so along with the assessment.
What about the tank that does have fuel for the generator now? Are we going to go to a different system?
I haven't had any conversation about changing that one.
Okay.
I believe it's just the ones that are no longer used.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you at some point in time going to change the generator over to natural gas or anything like that?
At least not that one, because not knowing what we're going to do with the property and the size of the generator, you know.
And it's diesel.
It's diesel. Yeah, it's a 700,000 kW. It's a huge generator. It was running the whole 7 acres, basically. So, yeah. It's overkill for what we need. Right.
Hospital,
now,
everything. It's as big as this table.
Yeah.
How much of the old, there used to be an old lithium bromide plant that is in the hospital? How much is still that? Air conditioning system.
Yeah, we have the old centrifugal chiller, and the both the chillers are still in place.
Okay. You want to buy it?
Actually have some.
Sell it to you cheap.
Yeah. We got a couple drums of R11 that I would like to see gone. Yeah.
That you would?
Yeah. No takers.
Is the tunnel still open?
Yeah, tunnel's still open.
I'd love to see a tour of that.
Yeah.
Just because I love history, but...
By tunnel?
Yeah.
Not the tunnel that goes underneath the road. The tunnel
that's not...
No.
Right.
You can see where that goes, but you can go in the tunnel that goes from the boiler facility to the hospital, to the facilities.
Last time I was in the Dimmick Tower, we were doing building surge training, and there was the prohibition of some of the floors because of the mold.
Oh, yeah.
But we were still able to...
Can't believe they let you in there. That was before me. I don't know if I let you in. It was before you. Yep.
Yeah. And bringing up the old tower and mold, A Street building, even though we're doing abatement, we're starting to see leakage.
Really?
That. So,
bummer.
You know, we're going to start putting Band-Aids on it, but at some point.
Well, we went up on that roof a couple years ago, and it did look like it was going to be, it's inevitable. So I've tried to get, I've been in the tunnel, I've been on the roof, get out there and take a look at stuff so we kind of know the lay of the land. But it's not a bad idea over the next year or so. That if you have a spare moment and Ryan's inclined to take you over to the jail and take you up on the roof for, you know, kind of look under the hood of the car, so to speak, so you understand our infrastructure.
Oh, right.
You were born in the jail? You were born in the old building? Yeah.
I found a piece of paper in my documents and stuff that I got where my dad, when I was born, they charged him for a delivery room fee.
And you were.
And he had crossed that out, made note on that. No, I'm not paying this because I wasn't born in the delivery room. The delivery room was busy, so they put my mom in a regular patient room. And he said, "I'll pay for the patient, not the delivery room."
Yeah.
He was on that every line out of it. Was
yeah.
Typical.
It was probably interesting if they actually put the cost.
Yeah.
Well, the long-term plan for the A Street building, we don't have one. We know that it's going to have to be remediated. Whether they tear it down or they choose to salvage it. And we have there's a drawing, a rendering of what it would look like if it was returned to a kind of a historic nature. It's kind of cool, but, you know, it's not like the courthouse, but it's just you're going to have to do this, and we're using grant funds predominantly to do that. So I think it's a good step in the right direction.
So there's a local connection of a guy who is roommates with Florida McMinnis. If we ever want to look at any of our historic buildings as far as onward use in different ways, I'm just going to throw that out there that a couple weeks ago I talked to a guy who showed me his phone. He had a cell phone of one of the McMinnis boys he went to college with.
Who bought the Elks Lodge down there? I heard McMinnis.
Boy, I don't know. It looks sharp. It looks really sharp.
They're doing an awful lot of stuff down there. I heard it was McMinnis, but I don't know that.
Right now, it's not McMinnis.
I'd like to see the old water treatment facility, maybe. The tower has a problem of parking. There's no parking around it, so need a parking structure. Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead. No problem. Just whatever the decision is on the A Street building for too long, we'll have to do something with the roof if we're going to try to protect the structure.
And I would support patching the roof to save the Dimmick Tower mess from being removed.
Let's not go down that road again. There's a lot of criticism for that.
Yeah.
Well, resources. The value of the A Street building has been around $250,000. The roof for the tower would have been about $150,000, somewhere around there. But that was a $5 million building. There's no value in this A Street building, so I don't want to put $125,000 on a, you know what I mean? But patching it, like you suggested.
Don't ignore it.
No. Yeah, then you know it's going to be torn down. But right now, yeah.
Yeah, my thought is put, you know, a small amount of money, liquid patch,
yes,
something along those lines to stop the bleeding. Yeah,
right.
Nothing long term.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Car damage at corrections, that's pretty much the interior is pretty much done. We're waiting for a break in the weather, and we'll
see. So a crash?
I remember?
Ran into
Nate's office.
Nate's office.
Oh.
4 months ago?
Sorry, you said car damage. I'm thinking of what's done with a car. Okay, no, the actual building.
Building damage.
We actually never seen the car, so our truck.
It wasn't like that
what
here.
It was. We had a detective we had just hired who found the light piece and was able to figure out what kind of car. But
yeah, it was a 70s or 80s Chevy.
Something
or
like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so he's got a door out of that.
Yeah. The cost was really
good. Sure, he didn't pay somebody to drive through because he wanted a door.
Yeah. And it was right after he moved in there. So
I mean, the timing.
Seemed a little suspect.
Either that or he made somebody mad.
Recorded.
Please know I'm joking. I know that wasn't the case. He was very shocked by it and disturbed and upset. Man's very humble, too. His response was to go work out in the support staff area without an office and then took another smaller little closet for a while so no one else was displaced. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really did, he showed leadership in how he responded to his office being demolished.
So. It wasn't a small little, it wasn't like this. It was intense.
Yeah. No, I got
bricks,
pictures. I saw
going all the way across the room.
The bricks literally touched the door from being hit from the outside of the building. And, I mean, we're trying to figure out how they went through a bush, hit the brick, the window stayed intact, and yet if you looked at the inside, you would have sworn there was an earthquake. I mean, and it
was
cracked the rooms next to it, the rooms the other way. And
oh, yeah.
Intense.
Yeah. So
that poor school.
Yeah, it handled it well, though.
Yeah.
Whoever laid the brick in that building did quite a good job.
Did you remediate the issue with the roof repair replacement?
As
there was this after it was repaired or replaced, you said you experienced still a continuing issue.
Yeah, we had some of the roof drains
actually
detached where they came out of the slab during the roof project.
Oh.
Those have been taken care of
good.
Now. The only thing left on that roof is we're adding one more drain.
Okay.
But we're waiting till summer so to work around the weather. We're currently, as we speak, moving building and safety downstairs to planning. That's pretty labor-intensive as well. We have the walls built, counter. We're still waiting for countertops for a couple weeks. But
what's going to happen with the upstairs?
The upstairs, I believe, Julie's using it for mostly storage, and we're moving water resources upstairs.
Okay.
Is there, how did we get that building? I mean, it wasn't a doctor's office.
It was part of the whole Dimmick property, when we got it back.
Okay.
It came as a package, so that building also sees some water intrusion.
It's a mess.
It always has.
Well, and to me, that's a building. I don't see why we even have it. And if we get out of there, it would be nice to get rid of it, in my opinion.
Yeah. And the water intrusion.
Not because it's cheap. We got it back. But we'll, it's not included any kind of a salvage. Any Dimmick scenario has got it torn down.
Yeah.
So.
Shouldn't get in the way of any development.
It will.
Says, yeah, I want this whole thing, but I don't want that building.
No.
Certainly go.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it'll be easier because it's newer. It doesn't have some of the old historic issues.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, really, the public health building, that's a quality building. The only one, really, on the site.
Yeah, but hopefully.
The OER?
Yeah.
Hopefully
but
they can
where it's located, I don't know if anybody developing would want to keep it there. So.
But it's still got wasted space because it's big enough for gurneys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, as far as best use of the building is, it could have been.
Except the hallways would still have to be 6 feet wide instead of 8 feet wide. So
yeah, you're not really saving.
You're not
going to
save a lot.
Okay.
So, yeah. The Justice Building space this coming year, I'd like to kind of brainstorm on who we can move in there when the city does leave. Maybe even get some of the renovations in place. Looking into the future, you know, who we might move in there, whether it be, you know, community development, corrections, whoever.
We talked about a public works, building planning, community development kind of shared window. So as people are coming for permits, they're not having to drive across town back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
As far as those
one stop shopping would be right close at hand.
Right.
I think what Ryan and I talked about yesterday, we spent about an hour together, and I totally endorse that. That's been a plan of mine for 6 years, that we can somehow figure that out, trying to get them to move out since 2013 when the sheriff left, or consolidate, take it all, do something. So I appreciate they're working on it. It's 2 years away, so I think we've got some time to spitball about what it looks like. But it doesn't necessarily have to be that I hate that term, outside the box, but it doesn't have to be them there. You just say you want them, all of those community development people in public works, here. Maybe you move clerk's office over there that has to be open twice a year past that 5 o'clock deadline, or something else. Or Ryan had the idea of moving community corrections into there, and then you move admin, maybe even the clerk's office over there, assess and taxation. Think creatively about, now we have that space open, what is the best way to move potentially people around? Maybe the surveyor goes, you know, with this community correction, community development element, and so they don't have to have the separate office counter person there. I don't know.
Yeah.
That we think, like, creatively of moving anybody anywhere they need to be to where it's the long-term best fit for the county. So. Not just because you have people you want to move off of the Dimmick campus and you have a space open. So I think we've got time to do that, and Ryan's going to work on that.
I mean, I'd love to brainstorm on those ideas.
Yeah, so just think about it. There is
the right time to do that is? Or
right now. But getting an idea of that he's able to renovate, you know, the 10,000 square feet that is open right now so that, you know, the day this happens, there's a drawing, an engineer, contractor lined up for the day they moved out, we've got them starting on the reconstruction or whatever needs to happen to facilitate who we've already decided needs to move in.
Yeah,
I don't want to think about it when they're moving out. It's like, okay, now what are we going to do?
What are we in line with? I know that we had got a report that we came up like sixth on the list for courthouses statewide.
Seventh?
Okay.
Oh, it's sixth now that Multnomah's been funded, so theoretically if the list has stayed the same.
It was. I thought it was around six. I read it 2 months ago, so my memory's not always... Sometimes it's okay.
Yeah, no, I think...
Don't ask me what I did last weekend, because I've slept since then. But if I read it, I'll remember. But with that, though, I mean, I don't know that this building is the best... With us getting another judge...
We have a facilities plan that outlines what it would look like for courts to move out, and we can get you a copy of it. It's up on the shelf over there.
I would be interested in looking at it. I mean, because honestly, if we're going to be doing renovations, what's the best need? What's the long-term strategy so we are not spending money to turn around and redo that?
So the legislature's plan 5-10 years ago was to build a new courthouse every biennium. They've got 20-something that they need to do. They built... Klamath got moved up because they had an earthquake, and it was the same design as ours, and it didn't do well, so they had to build that one. Multnomah was the next one, and that was a $150 million project that the state legislature never could seem to either sell the bonds or figure out how to pay for it. They figured that out last session, so that's underway. So now, you know, that pig and the python has moved out. All our stuff is a lot. It's totally a lot smaller than what Multnomah's is going to be. So you might see some traction of them moving those kinds of things along, but I think even if we are like sixth or whatever, and you have to wait a biennium, that's 12 years on a good schedule. So we've got some time to think about it.
On what it would take to upgrade this building?
I don't think we're looking to necessarily upgrade. It's the courts would move like over there.
Yeah.
They would build a new courthouse, just like they did in Klamath Falls. They have the state courts across from the county facility. Now, if we have an earthquake, we might move up on that schedule, but, you know.
There's some real wood here. I don't want one.
I don't either. You're the one with the safe. You're the safest person here.
I have an earthquake ready bag.
Yes,
in there,
you
too.
Do. I bet you do. So, anyway, I think it's something to think about, but it doesn't, you know, we can develop a 10-year plan that doesn't include that pretty easily, I think.
Having that empty space gives us a lot of options on how we can shuffle people around.
I think what would be helpful for us to think about it is what does that space look like? How big is it? If we utilize downstairs and upstairs, you know, maybe giving us a quick overview at some point in the near future.
Yeah.
And then we can start thinking about what is clerk use? What is community development potentially need in Jigsaw?
Is anything downstairs other than storage? Oh, man.
No. City police still use
the locker room.
Yeah, and then part of the old jail is just nothing more than storage. And
I was recently down there.
Yeah, and that could be renovated as well into office space. I mean, I know everybody wants a window, but in most new construction, that's not.
I can tell you from someone who, coming from that side of things, both down in the jail and in the dispatch center, you do have to dump a bucket of water down the drain frequently or the sewer smells come back up.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, every once in a while you go in there and you're like, wait, hey, and you just remember to pour water down the drain and it's breathable again, but it's...
Yeah. And we have staff that, you know, we try to do those periodically. But
yeah, so anybody who goes in those areas, I'm just giving a heads up to keep a bucket around.
We actually put vegetable oil
occasionally,
because it evaporates way slower.
Oh, that's
so we
good.
Just give it a little bit on top of the water, and it slows down the process.
The sewer smells that come back up through the pipes in the jail and dispatch.
Good idea.
It's a film on that.
So, yeah, having those conversations, I guess, would be good. And if we are on a 12-year potential plan, what does that mean? How much investment in reconstruction do we do? But obviously you're tasked with getting the most out of our, like, you know, properties. And if there's something we can get rid of, then it doesn't have to be in our county books. That's the option, too. So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, currently we have a lot of elbow room. So there's a lot of shuffling that can take place. So. Fairgrounds, commercial building project, that one's been marked off the list. It's pretty well complete.
It looks sharp.
Yeah, it came out pretty good. I wouldn't say the building's complete, but at least that entrance
looks nice.
You know, that would be the doorway I'd stand under in the
earthquake, any other one, clear out. Yeah.
Have you ever been to the Sun River Resort? I went up there for a training, and they have a lodge up there where you go in this room, and it's basically just their big ballroom or something, but it's kind of lodge style. So they have a second floor mezzanine that goes all the way around it, and they'd have tables and stuff, and then they'd have the serving tables oil. When I went into the commercial building, as they had the lid kind of removed, and you see how big it is, you easily could do something like that. I mean, we're talking massive restoration and preparedness, but think about what kind of venue that would be, an historic kind of old barn. It's a pole barn, essentially, that if they took that middle lid out and actually restored the above the booths, you could have some major events in there.
There's a lot of square footage that's not being used.
Yeah. Sure. It's amazing, that building. Once you see the bones of it, and you're like, oh, and you start dreaming about what it could be, and then you're like, never mind.
The arena roof, we're still putting plastic on it about every 6 months, so I'm not sure the status on grants. I believe Mary was working on grants to do something with the arena. I'm not sure if there's a long-term plan with that one.
Did the Posse's flooding get cleared out?
The Posse's, yeah, we put plastic over their area as well. In the past, we were just half the barrel was getting plastic. Now we're on to the second side and the flats of the arena.
Well, and they're down in the kitchen area, that all got flooded out too, I guess.
I just don't think that building, I mean, it's cool, it looks historic, and that's kind of neat, but it doesn't facilitate, you know, a modern type of any kind of activity.
If you ever got a fire going there, you couldn't get out of that big damn barn like a map.
Well, it reminds me of the old Grants Pass High School stadium when it burned.
Good point.
I could see it from my house, you know. Yeah.
And there's no heating, there's no cooling, there's no insulation, a lot of old cloth wiring still in place.
And I think all of the infrastructure for the roof, with the pigeons being on it for decades, that's not structurally sound. I bet if it was evaluated. Mm-hmm. So that's why I haven't made the decision. I made the decision to not put a new roof on an old, you know.
I put a new roof on it, get a foot and a half of snow, and the whole thing comes down because we're underbidding
it. Yeah. So long term, I think we need to work on, Peggy needs to be working on a strategy not to replace that roof, but to build a new arena.
I think the mindset still is to try to salvage the arena.
I don't see that being a real viable option.
I would agree with you.
It's still not gonna. You're gonna spend more money, I bet, rehabilitating an old building to get to a point where you want to be able to use it with heating or air. I don't know about air conditioning. They don't AC the arena over in Jackson County, but they do heat it. You know, for wintertime events. Yeah. And we're a winter for 8 months of the year. Yeah. So if you take that out of the queue, because it's just too doggone cold in there.
Really need to take. They need to go over and see, and even the expo over there is outdated in a lot of aspects.
Yeah.
But I mean, I go to the car show over there, and after you're inside there, and it's warm and everything.
Nice. Yeah.
In the wintertime.
Yeah. Well, and you have a dirt base that you can put a cover on, and people can walk too.
They tarp it, and you drive all over it. And
Well, next fair board meeting is March 21st, so I can bring up just suggesting that.
Well, they need to work on a long term plan for the fairgrounds, and I think that the reason that for me, the fair is going to stay, and I hadn't always arrived at that conclusion, but I think it does make a lot of sense. If you take public works and you put in a convention center style thing there, then you find a reason that it should stay. But if it doesn't have that kind of a component there, that is not the best location for the fairgrounds. 72 acres being encumbered by something that doesn't generate revenue for anybody. The economy could be generated from a fairground someplace else. It doesn't have to be there. But there are things that have to be in that location within the city limits. But I think you can keep it if you make it better.
Well, and if the soccer complex thing ever gets off the ground out there, you're going to need motels and places to stay out there.
Yeah.
There isn't any on the south end of town.
No.
Nothing down there.
No, I think it'd be an easy sell to have somebody come in there and build a hotel, the city and the county partner in building the convention area using that public works area. So long-term planning, I think, is something we want to work on this year for every program, the visions of things that they want to do. And we've talked about it. You've got your wish list. You're not going to be able to stay up at the Dimmitt campus forever. You're going to need a new location. I want evidence to change its location to the jail campus and have it, you know, organized in a very structured fashion. And so
I get concerned at evidence that somebody's going to say, you know, I've, there's something in that building that's going to send me to prison forever, so I'm going to take care of that. That can be real easily done in a prison.
Well, I can't say that at least city police respond for alarms there, and they're pretty quick about it.
Yeah.
They take it seriously.
The jail campus is where I'd like to move it to. So back in that yard, and using Connex containers as the main storage. Are they called Connex?
Those
containers. I think you can. We've got. You said four.
Yeah,
four.
And two of them are heated and cooled and insulated. And
which is required with some of the events. Yes.
Yeah, works quite
well. You can keep them separate. They're organizable. You know.
They're pretty stout.
They're cheap. They're fireproof from a standpoint that
at least
know,
at the jail they'd be
a cocktail is not going to.
I still have a vision if we get a contract with DOC that we have to still use the gated area with the secure deposit.
Yeah, exactly. We could put some sensors in along the back as well. So,
ironing out a couple of those long term plans, that things that we need to work on.
So just keeping in mind that if ever the Sally Port goes down or they moved intake like they had before to that one pod, which if as you go back to housing, the first pod on the right, which I never know which numbers are which.
800.
Yeah. But it has the exterior entrance within the gated area. And that's the backup as far as entry if something happens to the Sally Port.
Yeah.
And with the electrical gate and stuff like that. So... I think one of the requirements
outside of that fenced area, if I'm thinking
that would work for your stuff. Yeah. So I just want to make sure that we don't lose that ability in there.
No, because we're actually that area in there we're required to keep as a fire dump area, so we wouldn't be able to do any building or anything.
Okay, good.
Yeah, even the.
So if there was a fire, you have to
community
get
garden
people out, right?
If we were to rent a Department of Corrections, though, right now the requirement is I do a work release program. So I have to be able to take inmates in and out. And I say I because I'm still trying to negotiate with Jeremiah. It's not my job. I just, if the sheriff gets to it. But I'm looking at revenue sources.
I honest to goodness don't think you're ever going to be able to let go of your past. And that's a good thing. I say that in a good way.
The good and the bad is where I am.
You're happy.
that's about all I have.
Great.
Unless you have any questions in regards to... event at public health or anything like that?
Well, that's just hopefully an anomaly that won't be, but I think if we continue to work on getting rid of Dimmitt and preparing it to get rid of the whole campus, including the old ER section, I think the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that takes care of it.
Along that line, there's a tick in the fan over Dan Basker.
Drives me crazy.
We put that in intentionally because then when people nod off,
perfect. It works.
No.
But no, last night I think Michael was saying something about he thought there's something out of balance.
Oh, okay.
You can feel it in the
We're going to actually be doing some work on the Ambassador unit because it doesn't bring in any fresh air.
I can't stand that. It kills me.
Yeah, so I've already given the green light to a contractor. We're going to be putting economizers with fresh air intake in the building. So that'll be getting done shortly, and we'll take a look.
Well, and right now...
sooner rather than later.
You've got a rag or something in it that's shaking.
Yeah, it's very annoying. But that's... I just assumed it's an old building, but... Along those lines, if anything's getting adjusted, we need to work with IT as well. Any of our electrical recordings have interference on them because the lines are being run right next to electrical. And so for whatever reason, the electrical current is causing interference with our recording. So when people are listening to non-televised meetings, just the electric recordings, we can't hear it clearly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And so I've had that be brought up by a few different sources.
Shielded cable or separation.
Correct.
Well, let's do that because... That's a real big transparency and open public meeting, especially because our minutes are being reduced as far as detail.
You have to have the recording clear for people to see, and it's not right now.
All right. Well, I'll touch base with John McCafferty in regards to that and see if there's anything.
While we're there, there's no plugins. So one of the things I'm trying to do is bring my Surface, mm-hmm. and if we're in a long hearing, the only way for me to plug in is to run an extension 10, 15 feet back by the back entrance. There's no electrical on our podium on our side.
Oh, okay.
For us to plug in. Now, if I go over the front down into the base on the audience side, but for whatever reason...
But you're not going to do that.
No, which is why I haven't.
So, yeah, no, that's an easy fix. So.
Just like, it would be a request of mine. I would love to have electrical on this side that I can...
Convenience. We've never had anybody need that.
Never knew one.
Nobody else uses there. Power the way you do.
I am a techie.
Yeah.
There's a pun in away. There.
Yeah, just gonna.
All right.
I'm waiting for her to have the helmet with the antenna on.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye. Have a good day.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks for your patience, Arthur. You thought this was a short agenda.
Well, I can defer to next week.
No.
I don't have anywhere to be till noon, so.
I do have a noon.
So do I.
Oh, well, this shouldn't take more than an hour.
You have an hour and 15 minutes.
15 minutes to go through. What I wanted to do is to follow up from last week. We discussed budget review or budget information. So what I wanted to do was to just start at the top, kind of a 30,000-foot level, and say this is... You know, at the highest level, this is a budget review or a look-see at what's going on with all the different departments and all the different programs. So the report you have in front of you is one that I can run at any time. It's actually under the BCC umbrella, so Wendy could run it at any time, or she could ask us to run it at any time. And it's at a fund level, so there's a few funds that are... combination of various departments like the general fund, but the majority of our funds are one-on-one. So you'll see fund number 11 is public works. That's all it is. Fund number 13, community corrections. So it's many of the funds are a program by program level, but it gives you an initial look-see that will hopefully enable you to say, I need more information on this fund. You know, this one looks like the percentages are off, or it looks like the balances are off. I need to know more about this one. So just going over this particular report, you can see that it has current budget, year-to-date actual, and percent. Up at the top, you can see listed the... I ran it this morning, and I ran it for fiscal period 1 through 8. So our fiscal period starts in July 1. So July is fiscal period 1, August is fiscal period 2, September 3, and so on. So I ran it through February, which is fiscal period 8, so 8 months out of 12 through February, which on a straight line basis would give you 66%, 67%. We're two-thirds of the way through the year, through the fiscal year. So we're 8 out of 12. We're two-thirds of the way, 66%. That gives you kind of a benchmark when you look at the percentages here of percent used. It gives you kind of that benchmark. We're two-thirds of the way through. We should have two-thirds of our revenue. We should have spent two-thirds of our expense. Something along those lines.
Does that ever really truly happen, though?
Well, in many cases it does.
So on page 3, for instance, like the administrative internal services or county fleet, where they're used, their revenues are internally driven.
Yeah.
Their expenses aren't, but they kind of should be tracking right along. Those are highly controlled, you know, internal programs. But like airports, you know, I see they're at 23% of their revenue at the GP airport or the IV airport.
Right.
But they've only got 20% of their expenditures out. And I don't know that program as much as I need to. But that would be a question for me.
And I think that's hoping that some grants are coming in, that they're still waiting for the time.
Yeah, their program is so money in, money out.
Yeah.
What you did is exactly what this report would give you the opportunity to do, to say, look, you're at 20%. What is going on, airport manager? Mm-hmm. And would probably tell you, yes, we were
We budgeted for several million dollars worth of grants coming in, and they may come in, but they'll come in June or whatever. So that those are the kinds of questions. Yeah, 67 is, you're not going to see it exactly, but if you see a wide swing, like revenues are down at 20%, then that tells you, hey, what's going on there?
What is number 71 county school?
Oh, okay.
Why is there a $355,000 budget and $247?
Yeah,
what
county school is, those were the, that is where the forest receipt money flow through. So that's money that we would have gotten from the state forest, ODF, federal forest.
State forest.
the 75% goes to roads and bridges, to their road fund. 25% goes to the county school fund. This is the county school fund that it runs through. So, as you know, we're not getting any more SRS funds.
With the state.
We are not talking about the same things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even what you're saying, SRS, has nothing to do with the state.
SRS is feds.
Correct. I meant
ODF.
The federal forest.
Okay.
Federal forest receipts.
That
not,
makes
not
more
the state
sense because the state money doesn't get distributed
forest
like
receipts.
That. Federal
okay.
forest.
Right. So you have
and that's
BLM,
Forest Service.
You have BLM property, which is the biggest chunk that we get,
yeah.
of what used to be, you know, $16 million or whatever. And then you have the U.S. Forest Service.
Yes.
Piece.
We haven't gotten that check yet. That's supposed
I
to be coming.
I haven't seen it yet.
No,
we should
I just
have
seen got an ONC.
Yeah.
We will. It's coming.
Okay.
They've cut the checks and they're on their
oh,
way.
Good,
so
because they said they were going to get it to us in February and
yeah.
I haven't seen it.
No,
so.
it's on its way.
So that's the one that.
But we're going to be shocked how low it is.
Public,
I guess.
Public Works used to get $1 million, $1.5 million, anywhere up to $1.9 million. Well, that represented the 75% of the U.S. Forest Service. 25% would go to county schools, and that would get, this is just a pass-through, that would go to Three Rivers School District. Well, we budgeted for it, but of course it's not coming in, so we won't
and
see
And it's really not our money. I mean, if we're off on that budget, it doesn't matter.
Basically, that $200, that's just interest or residual monies that were left in there from the last distribution.
On the PEG, is there somewhere where I can find documentation on what we can use PEG funds for?
Mm-hmm. Capital related to government publication or meeting space mm-hmm. for broadcast, you know, any of those cameras and such. We've got a 10-year plan of what we're doing with those funds. We just signed a contract right before you guys got here. I think we finished that a couple of months, maybe August. That had been a 5-year forever yeah. process with Mr. Gerber at Charter to get that done. We can get yeah. you all that. John's the person who could
John
get
McCaffrey.
That. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah just reach out to him.
Yeah.
He'll get you the 10-year plan of equipment and the contract that we just signed on the revenue, what we're expecting to get in on that. But it's pretty restrictive. It's kind of tough, but definitely what you're talking about, recording and stuff, that should be a priority, and there's resources there to do that. So,
okay.
And that's a once-a-year PEG money. And back to your 67%, you'll know that a lot of times the revenues are, if they're federal or grant, they'll come in once a year or they'll come in on a quarterly basis. A lot of times they're reimbursables. They're not, you know, here's your money up front, so we have to wait until we spend the money before the grant will reimburse us for those expenses. Property tax revenues, of course, we get the majority of that in November, but then we get another big piece in February, another big piece in May as people pay either the 50-50 or the one-third, one-third, one-third. So, yeah, there's some definite time variations in when we get the money and when we spend the money. Parks, of course, during the summer, big
by
upswing.
By the time you get to month 8,
yeah.
that should have all that delayed property tax payments should have already been taken into consideration, correct?
Some of that, sure. We'll get the majority of it in November. So we might be higher than 67% on
right,
the property
right.
tax
and
side.
You've got big influx,
yeah.
so
right.
you're going to be...
Well, I don't know that we hardly ever achieve 100%, so it'll... The revenues from property taxes usually in the fiscal year like 97, 98%.
Yeah, Eve does a pretty good job
of collections.
Collections, yeah.
Probably 96, 97. She does a really good job. I mean, there's not, there's always these laggers that, that don't make it, but I'd say 97% of the taxpayers, property owners in Josephine County, they're right there.
Well, I have questions on this, so I can follow up with you.
Right.
So, or your liaison, your program, that would be a good one to, you know.
I'm just looking at DA special program versus DA forfeiture.
The difference between the CAMI and CASA and those kind of things, yeah. It's kind of like, I believe Diane Hoover came last week or 2 weeks ago and gave a pretty good budget presentation to you folks, so... those are the kinds of things that you can, that this might generate a question off of saying, okay, well, here I see this, so the next time we have the department presentation, I'll say, you know, what about this? Why is your spending off, or why is your revenues off? So
the board has really been interested in this forest trust concept, and I think we would like to get that probably in the process to being codified before the end of the fiscal year. We've got a draft that Dave has presented. I think we need to get something in their hands as a draft ordinance governing this forest trust, and that right now the forest trust is being housed in the property reserve as a line item. So there's a significant portion of that property reserve, which is a false number because it has this forest trust component
restrictions
associated with it, and I think I'd like to get that.
I thought we asked legal to get started on that. Is that not
they true? Have. It's just, you know, they're working on the levy document. You know,
okay.
I don't think we had like an end goal. I didn't have one. I do now, end of fiscal year, that we really get that.
Which means
codified.
We need it now to have the 90 days in place by fiscal year.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a challenged ordinance, so just the concept that it's the ship has started sailing by the end of the fiscal year. We've approved it, you know, that's what I mean. Maybe not full implementation, because we can implement the idea. It's an internal element, really. So, but I do want it codified by ordinance. I think that's important. It's too easy to change a board order, and not that you can't change an ordinance. You just got to go through a process. So, but figuring out how we're going to structure that trust separately, fiscally, that'll be something to do too by this kind of the budget year.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a discussion with Dave Streeter and Richard Kern regarding exactly how to utilize those funds, which right now we've got a piece of forestry in general fund, most of forestry in general fund, you know, a piece in Fund 47, a piece in, well, a piece potentially now in this forest trust. And then the question I had that I really wasn't able to answer is that, you know, is forest 100% of the... We still have reforestation, silvicultural needs, and so on. And so our sales might occur, goes into general fund, but we still may need a piece of that to be set aside for potential reforestation 1 year, 2 years ahead of the current budget. So there still could be a need for a property reserve piece of the forestry that would be for the reforestation efforts, a silvicultural effort.
I see that, for sure.
And then another piece that would be in the forest trust that would be, by ordinance, you know, dedicated toward juvenile.
Because really the philosophy is once it goes into the trust, it can't be used for anything other than what the trust said it was going to be used for.
Right.
So you put all your, you know, it's a static payment, though, so even if the forestry department generates $1 million and the payment needs to be $750, that $250 remaining could go into the property reserve forest line item for reforestation that takes place, you know.
Yeah,
so under the Oregon State Forest Practice Act, you have 3 years after a fire. That's the big one that's really tough to plan because you can't schedule out the harvest necessarily to function with the reforestation. And that's where they need a separate kind of reserve, or it just stays in the forestry's program.
It could, but then what happens is it rolls over as part of the general fund, beginning fund balance, and it stays with.
Can you separate forestry from the general fund?
No, we can't separate. You mean set them up as their own separate fund or separate program? we could. I mean, technically, on an accounting basis, we could, for legal and budgetary, they'd all be combined back into general fund because that's the nature of their funding.
It doesn't have to be. If we set them up to where they're not backed up by the general fund, they have their own reserve.
Well, it would...
I just like the idea of having it's a separate function. It's a dedicated revenue stream that doesn't go to the general fund anymore. Mm-hmm. It isn't at the discretion of the general fund. It might need that, and it's something we think about. You know, all of this is how do we define this moving forward and set up a structure that doesn't give a false impression.
Exactly.
That there's all of this money in the general fund
you're
obligated under the Oregon State Forest Practices Act. If you harvest that tree, you have to reforest it within 3 years. It's not really general fund total discretionary money. It's already obligated, which we have money that's already obligated that goes through the general fund. But
we accomplish that with forestry because the numbers are so large potentially, like, you know, the $1.5 million we sold couple years ago. Because the numbers are potentially so large, we accomplished that by moving them to Fund 47, the property reserve, currently. That's how we.
But then I don't like the property reserve saying it has $3.7 million in it. It's like
same thing. I would rather, if it's got to go with cost of doing business for that sale, it needs to stay with that sale and be dedicated to that sale and be done with. We can use that.
It's problematic from somebody who's trying to look at the budget and saying, I don't understand how come you have all of this money when it comes through and you say then you don't have any money.
It's going to be sitting in the
but
general
I don't want to create 500 funds. I don't want to have that. But this one is a large enough one. It's not chump change, and it does askew the numbers to say
false sense of security. Oh, look at all the money you got there. You're not
then,
using it.
Then when you set up the forestry trust by ordinance, then you allow for both purposes, not only juvenile but also reforestation programs.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll need a third fund. Yeah.
The trust is. Yeah, I think we'll have to hash out this and stuff.
Yeah.
But let's do that, and we may need to, you know, use your storyboard. This is how the money flows. This is how it goes, and it's dedicated and it's separate. Because right now, if you're saying that forestry is part of the general fund, and I'm thinking that our general fund reserve is 4.5 or 4.2, is it really 4.2 or 4.5? It may not be. Right.
If you've got some reserves against that, or obligations, I should say.
And I don't
want. You've got some obligations against that.
I think that goes for them saying, we don't even know. How can they know if I don't know?
Yeah.
It's got to be a true number. That's what I think we're aspiring to. So talking about general philosophies that you go home and digest and say, okay, so how do I accomplish that in the best way possible to do your fiscal stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make it exceedingly cumbersome, but accomplishes the goal.
Right.
I think that was a very productive conversation for getting everybody kind of tracking on what we're trying to do. All roads lead, in my mind.
The only thing I was going to bring up is Fund 12, instead of it being public safety, calling it law enforcement. I know that's simplistic, but I thought we had talked about
we inherited that. So I just wrote an email to the Lipset coordinator. She was going to be able to come in here today to meet with me, but she's fallen ill. But I delineated a little bit of the philosophy of how, you know, criminal justice is still something somebody's doing. The courts is doing that. The DA is doing that. Maybe even community corrections, but I didn't put it that way. But the county does law enforcement. The city does public safety. So there's really three legs of that stool. And I think branding them as such probably makes a lot of sense. If we need to rebrand our budgeting thing to get consistent, we need to say that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I'd really like you to take a look at those three brands. What falls under all those brands?
Sure.
You know, saying...
Well, Community Corrections probably holds all three.
I knew you'd say that.
But you're right. Criminal justice is the courts and the district attorney's office. Public safety, in terminology of any time you see nationally, the public safety department, they're fire and police.
Right.
That's a terminology just for a fire. We don't have a police chief or a fire chief. We have a public safety director who oversees both branches. And so to me, when I see, I know we talked about terminology being different. When I see public safety, that means police and fire.
Cross parking.
And otherwise, you would have Grants Pass Police Department. You would have Grants Pass Fire Department. But they're public safety because they're combined. So to me, that's why public safety is that definition. Our sheriff, our juvenile, well, juvenile also is, juvenile falls under all three with criminal justice because they not only hold accountable, but they actually operate as the district attorney with some cases over there. They're very unique in the function that they do, but they also provide the treatment and the programs. They also do the family interventions. I mean, they're wearing
the
all
detention
hats.
Too.
Correct. Yeah. And then they're law enforcement with the detention, and they manage the population. Community Corrections manages the population at the jail. So,
well, I'll follow up with you then, I guess, on any kind of final what we want to see as far as this fund is called, label.
I know we've talked about
I think law enforcement makes sense. I was looking for that to fit into the LIPSIX charge of establishing like a 5-year vision for law for all three branches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you call it all. But you know what I mean? And it figuring out, delineating those three different brands and then how they work together. I just gave her a couple of examples of stuff we'd like to see within our law enforcement thing, moving evidence to being more secure and unorganized and stuff, and just the other things that we're looking at doing, renting out. Maybe we have that jail at full capacity as one of our five goals, not necessarily with our people, but, you know, it's
on the big picture.
Yeah. Renting to other counties, and is that price something
and then
that
you
can cover?
Then you back up and you say, so what do we have to do to get there? And you get those certifications and stuff like that. But if we don't have that as like the vision of where we want to go, we're never going to get there. So anyway,
we need to have an inventory of everything that's available. You know, because we're talking Jackson County, Clearfall, Douglas County, Clearfall. Does anybody know that we have 50 beds here that we can do if we're staffed for it?
Yeah.
You know, the big picture here is the state system going, wow, we got to send people back to the counties. And they don't even know that we have those beds available. We just can't afford to put people in there.
Yeah, there's certainly a challenge.
I mean, definitely an infrastructure asset.
Like when the feds will only pay for beds that are being used, so you staff up, but then they don't use them, and you're short on the revenue side. Yeah.
Then go to them and say, we can't staff.
Right.
To your liking, unless you're willing to pay for the staffing.
That's
what they're
guaranteed.
That's
guaranteed.
Why our contract with City was you will rent this many beds whether you use it or not.
Right, guaranteed.
Because
we have to staff.
Your expense is the staffing. Your expense isn't, you know, the lights on and, you know,
nice mattresses.
For a week or
something. Bologna sandwiches are expensive.
Bologna sandwiches. But the staffing is the big elephant in the room. And if the feds say, no, we're only going to buy rent day to day,
Can you close out the Commission
for Children and Family? Yes, yeah. Yes, we are. That will be. That's just the residual holdover.
Fairgrounds is something that's always a concern, Commissioner Morgan. So you're at you're the liaison on that one. You're at 72% of your expenses, and you're not generating a whole lot of revenue between now and the end of the fiscal year. So
no, that's something they're scrambling on because of the low attendance because of the weather this year.
They didn't make enough to.
Nope.
Keep it going. So
112 kind of puts a damper on it.
Oh, yeah.
So constantly watching that one. If it drops below, we'll have to do an end-year budget adjustment, and it'll be a transfer from the general fund to shore them up.
They'll
start the next year in the hole.
Yeah. So.
Well, I know somebody contacted me the other day about the fact that they used to have an old time or car swap meet out there, and the outfit that did that, I think that brought in $4,000 or $5,000 just for a weekend event. But the outfit that did that, they just got so old they don't do it anymore. So they are scrambling for somebody to try to pick that up and then keep that out there. So those are things too. There.
Well, I think in the fair, it would do them well to have an event coordinator, and basically, I think that could be shared between the fair and parks. To have someone who's...
I think Sarah would be receptive to that. She spends an inordinate amount of time coordinating these events, coming in, you know, meeting with them and the requirements of what different facilities, I don't know. But they do generate revenue, you know. When you've got the whole place full for a weekend and they're paying you all the spaces plus an additional just to get the general facility for them, it makes money. So having somebody who's a promoter on that deal, that... Something Sarah and I talked about is really advertising I want that economic development money this year. If we continue to do it that way, either way, she needs to really utilize her facilities to advertise, and she wants to do that. I don't see any real, you know, things that I don't understand of why they are the way they are in any of this, and I'm not concerned really. Everything looks like it's just fine. Besides that fair one is going to be a concern. It's going to go into the red for sure. So just to be aware of those things, I think that's what historically Rosemary provided, and Arthur doesn't want to do it, and so I'm not going to twist it. I'm just kidding. I don't mean to throw you under the bus. It's fine. We don't have the same kind of issues we did 6 years ago when Rosemary was here, and we were doing a mid-year review that was thorough. It was over an hour or 2 hours, you know, going through these really special funds that they're going to have problems. We don't have those kind of issues anymore, so...
Well, the board made decisions that said
we will
process
these are the
in
rules.
Such a way. Yeah, these are the rules, and we've had folks that measured up.
Yeah,
Diane, Doreen Ferguson, they've mm-hmm. stenched the flow. Mary Groves for the fair.
Looking at Sarah's revenues, I know she's outside some of her things, her programs, mm-hmm. and we'll have to do an adjustment on those. But otherwise, I think she's really going gangbusters, mm-hmm. and I can see these next couple of years after she's gotten this under her belt. Now she understands the program. It's just going to go dynamite. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, with nothing, what else we got? Other business, matters from commissioners?
Yeah.
So do you guys understand the difference between other matters from commissioners, those things? Other are action items that the board members individually would bring before the board. So when I ask you over at the weekly business session, is there anything else that should properly, I use the word properly, come before the board at this time? It's an action item, a letter you'd like to sign. It shouldn't be like an order or something like that, but it could be individually you'd bring forward. If there are nothing, and there rarely is, but you have to have it delineated on the agenda to do so, to take that action, and that's where the ORS is scheduled. If there's nothing, then I'm going to go to matters from commissioners. I'm going to start with Commissioner DeYoung, and we work our way this way. If there are ever anything, I've been in that chair a lot, and I remember things when somebody else talks, we'll come back to it. But that's the order that we've adopted in the past, and it's served pretty well. Okay. So if there are no specific business, we can go to matters of commissioners. Anything that matters to you guys? I love throwing it that way.
I have a whole list for you, but I'm going to wait for you.
No, I'm still quite unsure as to what that is. You know, the difference between the two. I don't have anything that I know of that.
Other would just be an action item.
Yeah, I don't have any action items.
Okay. They're rare. They're not as rare here. They're more rare over there. Anything that you guys want to talk about for matters from some commissioners? You have some.
I do.
Great.
So, Cave Junction, Illinois Valley area has been without landline phones for a couple days. There's major infrastructural issues with Frontier as a company. I was not aware that in the storm in January, when the power was out for 4 or 5 days for folks, that they also had no cell phone or a lot of the areas lost cell phone coverage as well as landline access. Hmm. And so as Frontier's infrastructure was affected by the power outage, it affected landlines, and somehow it caused a cascade that some cell phone areas also. Now, I know some of the towers radio-wise, because I've worked in the radio realm for the last 17 years, they're on their backup batteries are solar. And sometimes when the weather is bad, it would cause battery alarms because they wouldn't restore the battery. So if you had a snow event of 48 inches that covered those solar panels or something that didn't restore, that could potentially happen. But I've been asked by a couple residents out there about what can we do as a board to hold Frontier accountable for making... this is a public safety issue. People cannot call 911 if there's an emergency at their home. Now, the fire station has had CERT volunteers come to the fire station, so if somebody has an emergency, they can come there, and they can call by radio or they can call by cell phone. But the frequency that Frontier goes down is becoming more and more frequent and more extended, and it is a concern for safety in our, or, you know, the safety of our community. So anyhow, I just want to bring that up. I'm not sure what our options are. I have requested the 911 manager to get me numbers on the outages so we can actually have something to go back on. I personally tried to call Frontier and hung up after 10 minutes on hold. I never got to a person, and I just was running out of time, so I need to try again.
You hired Frontier. It's that franchise. Mm-hmm. How did they get in there in the first place?
They own the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
They bought it from
Quest.
Quest.
It used to be, Cave Junction used to be serviced by the Gibbs family, owned it originally. And then my dad could tell you all the stuff. Everybody, but Quest owned it before Frontier, I think, and then so I think the challenge that if you got a Frontier person saying, you know, as we improve the cell service in the Illinois Valley, as the cell service in the Illinois Valley improves, people kick their landlines to the curb, so there's fewer people paying to maintain that infrastructure. They don't run in the parallel easement that the power line does a lot of times, so they're not maintaining the shrubs, the vegetation, and stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, my parents' place, they were out a phone for, and it goes down all the time. I can call right now and I'll get a busy signal. They have call waiting. You know, there's no busy signal, but it happens all the time.
But we've been notified that their outages are indefinite at this point. They have a major infrastructural issue and they're not doing maintenance. The other piece is if you look at Frontier, who is a national company, and you look at their stock returns, they have the highest dividends back to their stock of any other utility company. So they are keeping, instead of putting it back into the infrastructure, they are giving it to profits to their stockholders, and they're not maintaining the service.
That's why electric cooperatives were started in the 1930s, because it didn't pay to put an infrastructure there. You had to have the people who cared, lived in the community, who were in charge of it, saying, we're not going to pay stockholders, we're going to invest it in infrastructure.
Where does our authority, other than writing them a letter? I mean, do we have authority to tell them, hey, straighten this up? Because
no.
So.
No. Congressman Walden would be a good reference. He served on the telecommunications committee, and so I think that would be a good start for that new person that her name isn't Jamie. What is?
Kaylin? No.
Yeah, right. That's close.
Kaylin or something.
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, she would be a good person to start.
Riley's replacement,
looking into that. That would be a great place to reach out. It's been a challenge. I mean, we've tried having them in here, sending them letters from the board in the past, and really no response. And they don't have to. There's really no authority we have.
Okay. Well, and it's one of those things that I want to make sure that we are looking at it, because it does at some point become a public safety issue. And so if we have the ability to...
Well, I figure out, you know, maybe if we can't fix the infrastructure that's there, the old landlines, then what can we do for the cell service providers out there to say, I mean, we have three lease agreements, I think, on county property. We generate $240,000 a year in leases to cell phone companies. I would say, you know, it could be a matter of public safety, economic development, to say, we're going to give you 3 years of not paying that, and I'd like you to invest that money in improving the backup generators or whatever it takes out there.
Bring redundancy into the system.
Yeah, so where the cell phones don't go down, because that's the new technology. I think holding the landlines to the fire, they don't care, you know. Eventually...
When DHS gives you a cell phone, they don't give you a landline. They
no.
give you a cell phone.
And in my lifetime, I see landlines almost going away.
I only have one because the county's system wasn't enough for me to send faxes in the middle of the night. I had to get a landline because they didn't allow scanning an email or documents. And they do now, but...
Well, that might be something we reach out to. I don't know who's the carrier out there, but John would know. You know, our communications people would know if it's Verizon or whoever else. And get with those lease agreements and try to say, you know, we'd like to talk to you about ways we can improve those, and not just in the Illinois Valley, Williams, everywhere, North Valley.
Well, our sheriff's office can't get out on radio from Williams. You literally will have a deputy standing on top of his rig with his portable in the air trying to reach.
It's a tough valley.
Okay, so that was one. ONC website. Would you be willing to email out an FYI with the ONC website link?
Sure.
I tried Googling it, and I got a bad link.
We just transitioned to a new one. I think it's actually oandc.org, but I'll find out exactly what it is and send it to you.
And then the AOC, I was appointed by my two esteemed colleagues here to be the liaison for the... I am the voting delegate of the AOC Forest Management Subcommittee District 5. And we are to nominate a governing body member from District 5 County to serve as the Forest Management Sub-District 5 representative on the Subcommittee Board of Directors. Right at this point, Tim Josie from Tillamook is the only one who stepped up to say they're interested. I have no history with him to know if you have any... I know Tillamook is becoming... Forest management is still an active thing up there, but they also are, I don't know if they would be as aware of what's going on in Southern Oregon or not. So Craig Pope, who is one of the delegates, asked for the Southern counties to weigh in. I had waited because they had enough response without me to have a quorum, and so I wasn't going to weigh in. But they've asked that we weigh in. So I wanted to get your perspective as someone who's already on there.
So there's a list of five counties, I think, that are in that group or something?
Yamhill, Tillamook, Polk, Lincoln, Josephine, Jackson, Curry, Coos.
It's a big group. We're going to change this structure. It doesn't really matter who it is. I'm a chair of that. And so is Tim Freeman, and so is there's three of us. It's and Susan Roberts. She's the co-chair of Public Lands, and Tim is the chair of ONC. So the way we make up tri-chairs. We're looking for just populated, apparently. I don't even know. It's supposed to be populated so we can change the structure in the bylaws so that more people can participate. Tim is fine. He's currently the president of the Forest Trustland Advisory Committee. So he serves as an advisor to the Board of Forestry. He's a good one. He's knowledgeable. So, but there'll be more room. We're going to break up that region afterwards. We don't have the authority to break it up and change everything until we have people who say, yes, you can do that. But that's the plan. I only tangentially follow that one. But
well, and I just didn't want to weigh in. I have not had enough interaction with all of them to have an opinion of one of the participants. So
yeah, no, that's fine. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. The other thing, so the website Frontier, NACO conference, I sent out an email that I was interested in that, and the response I got was, you're going, so why do both of us need to go?
No, that's fine. I think I think I'd forgotten the fact that, you know, if you wanted to go to a WIR, which is not necessarily NACO, it's a subsection of NACO focused on natural resources in the West, the Western Interstate region. I think there's 11 states involved in that. And I went to the first board meeting that I've ever been to over in Ashland. I did attend the WIR board meeting in D.C. at the NACO conference. I think it'd be a good opportunity, but I think we need to be strategic about who's going to pick up that natural resource portfolio, and that's the person who needs to start going to these things in conjunction. I'm not opposed to either or both. I just think we should be more strategic with the time that you guys are dedicating to learning this issue.
Well, and I
because a lot of this stuff
of
is going to be
saying somebody needs to
way
go.
Over your head. You're not going to...
I don't assume I can learn 6 years' worth of knowledge that you have, that you're the expert in this area. But
you probably have like 8 months, 10 months, something like that.
And
on a good day.
That's the point. And I mean, I did attend mining advisory last year.
Hopefully we get it all solved. And, you know,
I was going to SORA, you know, and all this kind of stuff. It's something that's important.
Yeah.
But if it's Dan or if it's... Okay, thanks.
Done.
Just want to make sure that we have...
Yes, that's what I wanted.
So if you're not here, that you're not the only one with the knowledge.
Right.
And that's my biggest concern. The other piece of that is...
And the other difference, not to interrupt, is that there isn't anybody else here that when I started. So it wasn't important that I be 100% because you had Doug Roberts, who's done it for 30 years. You had C.W. Smith in Jackson County. You had all these people. There's nobody left.
Yeah.
It's me and Faye Stewart in Lane County, the old guard, which is crazy because I've only been... So, yeah, you need to... Nobody else is going to represent Josephine County's issues the way we do. We've got stuff that nobody else does. So.
Well, the other side of it is how often does it come to Oregon?
It doesn't. So that's why if you wanted to go, this is the one to
go
to.
Every year, but the fact that we're hosting in Oregon and we could attend.
Right up the street. That's the one to go to where you don't have to fly.
Okay, so the other piece that I need to bring up, which is AOC related, is that their spring conference is focusing on stepping up, which is the national NACO movement this year is the one that our AOC president is going, but Josephine County is a participant. And stepping up is basically the intention of reducing mental illness being solved by jail capacity. So one of the things Josephine County has done, and as you're the liaison for community corrections and sheriff, it'd be good for you to know this, that we've partnered with Austin's Mental Health to have a jail diversion team. And so anybody that's brought into jail that's identified with mental health issues, the jail diversion team assesses and sees, are they better suited for another program in the community so we're not tying up jail beds? And we try to get them into services, whether CRC or something else like that. But it is the focus of the spring conference. And tomorrow there's also a teleconference. Now, because I'm LIPSIC liaison, Melissa McRobbie asked if I would take part in the 11 o'clock conference call tomorrow regarding the Stepping Up initiative. But I don't know if that's something that you would want to do instead of me.
I won't be here.
Then you can't, so I will take part in that phone conference. But most likely would be appropriate to have one of us or more. I don't know. I'm familiar because I'm the mental health liaison, but I was in charge of the jail treatment program, so I have those connections. But I know that that conference is going to be one that I'm interested in taking part in or going on, mostly because I don't know how to let go of my past.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to bring it to your attention. So, all right. Well, then I won't bug you.
I don't think I'm going to the spring conference.
Okay.
If I don't think that there's going to be a natural resource component, so.
Okay.
Until I hear different, I'm not going to go.
Got it. Any objection to me registering for it?
Not at all.
All right. The other thing is, at some point, they want Josephine County to potentially be panelists to kind of show what we're doing to try to reduce jail population for mental health.
Great. I think that'd be a good thing. Deschutes County is also asking for money for hosting the WIR. It's costing them about $70,000. I don't know how, but it is. I said, well, would $500 help? Because I don't think we're going to be able to contribute more than that. And we did have a reduction in our dues to RV COG, right? So there's a couple of bucks there.
Next year.
Next year.
Yeah, not this year.
Not this year. Well, just something to think about if you guys are interested in making a token contribution to say.
Well, we're part of this, we're part of the group, I think, a token contribution. And it's $70,000, that's a lot of tokens.
It's a lot of tokens, and if we, I mean, I think they're not expecting a lot from us because we just, who we are.
Yeah.
$500 would be, you know, a good start. So, something to think about. We'll find where there's been a cost savings. This is the house rules of PAYGO. In order to spend money you didn't budget, you have to find off an offset. So I like that. We're going to sell off our county's helium reserves like they did to pay for secure rural schools 2 years ago. Don't we have helium reserves somewhere?
There's a lot of
strategic
hot air somewhere around here.
Strategic helium reserves?
Excess of oxygen that we have.
Sounds good.
Here's a tree.
Do you have an objection to that, Mr. Morgan?
No.
We'll figure out a place to find it. Great.
If 500 is reasonable, and it's, again, we don't host every year.
No.
But we do need the body of it to continue fighting with our Western land needs, so.
Yeah. The board members on that are Tim Freeman from Douglas County and Commissioner Joyce, Judge Joyce out of Umatilla County. So there are board members for the state on the WIR board. Anything else, Commissioner Morgan?
I think that's all I had.
I was going to suggest that maybe we put together thank you notes to the participants who participated and send.
That'd be a great idea.
So I've asked the ladies to print out some thank yous. They're ready to go. We just need to kind of like, you know, Mr. Rice, and then just thanks for your participation, that sort of deal. And then we could all sign them. I don't think we need to say much, but. I thought that would be a good thing. They took time out of their day to try to help solve the county's problems, our problems, everybody's problems. We need to start working on the voters' pamphlet write-up. I don't know when that's due, but it'll be soon. The deadline for other submissions is the 16th of March, which is coming up next week. So
also, I'd like to finalize that fact sheet.
Yes.
Are we getting on that yet?
Not yet. It's still being drafted. I was thinking about making a deadline of this afternoon because I actually gave them Friday, which I didn't know you were going to be here. I don't know that a lot would be accomplished between this Friday and next Tuesday because we're out Monday. So would we have done really much with it had it been done on Friday? Probably not. So is it possible that we revisit this on Tuesday morning?
Yes. I would rather have them have time enough to present us with a decent product and direction.
Okay.
You know, unless they have questions about what we've done.
I've given them everybody's number if there's something specific that they need, mostly Arthur's number for numbers, if they have questions about the specifics on what they... But they're really working on trying to make it very user-understandable in a storyboard fashion, kind of telling a story that you're here, you know, the trifold idea. So, are you here Tuesday morning?
Let me look. I should be. The deadline for filing an argument is March 20th.
Okay. Well, I think we asked to start working on that yesterday during our legal meeting. Is that working for you guys? I think the idea of having legal separate from the admin, we obviously have enough to talk about. That separating those two and the agenda for legal, I don't think we would have finished or something would have had to been cut off. So for me, I think that's working pretty well to separate those out.
Yeah, if we can make sure that so our general discussion Tuesday morning, I don't know if there's anything on the agenda, that's when I would aim for it.
That's what I was thinking.
We got from 9 to 11 available.
Perfect. We will do it then.
I should give you guys a heads up. I was asked to come be interviewed by Charter. They're doing a local edition Northwest something at the Chamber of Commerce on Thursday the 16th. It means I'll have to leave the admin workshop early to get over there.
I don't think I'm here that day, right? So you're going to...
Oh.
That's why I'm glad they asked you, but they asked me last week as well.
Okay.
So I gave them some your guys' information to say I can't do it, but you should have somebody do it. So.
They're asking for a topic. It's only a 5-minute interview, and they say it can't be political or something pending. Where, okay, can we talk about our public safety issues, not with a levy? No, just kidding.
Give them your first 60 days in office. What do you think?
I think changing the public perception of Josephine County, talking about the virtuous things that are going on here. You know, you are just. Got to this position, although you've been in public service for a while. They'll want to know a little bit about your history. I've done 5 of these, I think. And then go on and carry the banner of, we're a fantastic place. Talk about all the great things that we're doing.
Okay.
Positives of being, serving in Josephine County.
What's your test for the first 60 days?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I paid for it.
And then Bill Meyer.
Around, meet the people. I'm happy with what I see.
He reached out to me about being on as a follow-up to the summit.
Great.
Specifically, the Jackson County Jail talk. Right. Had my complaints about their jail.
Cool.
He wants to know more. So I just want to make sure that I'm giving you guys a heads up. I am meeting also with one of the people that has expressed interest, I think, would be valuable in a candidate's advisory tomorrow. So we want to be able to come back to you guys with some recommended makeup of what that board would look like. So,
did we get a press? Are you done?
Yes, sir.
Did we get a press release on our bond rating improving? Did you mind? Did you put? Did we get something? From the bond rating agency talking about it, that we could tailor to a press release?
I'll look to see if we've got one. If we don't have one from what they did in February, we might have one from back in December or the year prior.
Okay. So. I think that would be a positive thing we should get out there. And then somehow using bringing unity back to the community as...
That's a good
line. Doesn't it? Works pretty well.
Do you need a sense, a thank you to Brad or an appreciation?
Who came up with that?
Brad
Carlson.
Carlson from Environmental Services.
No, I think we should send him a thank you. That's
I have a free Dutch Bros card that I won on the radio. I can throw in as a, here's a half a coffee on us. Thanks for the tagline or something.
Great.
Not going to spend county money to buy it. But
so... We're working on a agreement with Moving Mountains and having them come in, and something we talked about is doing a video introduction by the board, not about a 5 minute, you know, maybe per what's it like for the first, what you've, you know, really low budget, you know, right off of the cell phone, and that we put on our Facebook page. So starting that campaign and then bringing under the umbrella of bringing unity back to the community. So anyway, I think that's the things that I had. I'm going to be up in Salem on Monday for ONC stuffs. AOC stuffs on, excuse me, Sunday is the meeting from 4 to 6 for public lands, and then the other stuff on Monday. And then ONC has a, I have a lunch with the state director of BLM, Jamie and Eugene, on Thursday at noon, and then we have the ONC meeting in the afternoon. Are you guys planning on attending either of that? I mean, you're not invited to the lunch, no offense. If you're invited to the orientation meeting on ONC, or we can have the staff come down here, whichever's more convenient for you.
I don't know anything about what you're talking about.
You were invited. I thought Rocky reached out to both of you for is it a 3 o'clock on Thursday? There's an afternoon meeting of the ONC.
I just looked at it this morning.
Yeah.
Because it came through from...
It's in Eugene. This meeting moves around. I'm not really sure. I had to drop off the call, but I think that's what he's talking about, is inviting new commissioners.
I think so.
I didn't get a specific invitation.
Okay.
I got a...
Well, let's look into that.
I think that you're having a director's meeting, and I ignored it. But there wasn't anything on there specific. See.
Do you guys want to set some time aside for a general discussion on ONC? And you just.
I think it'd be great.
Okay.
Just from we're going to get hit on the trail.
Yeah.
And just so we have some knowledge on.
Yeah, we'll frequently ask questions and
really
an information that isn't.
What about the ONC? Where does that stand? And that's a big portion of our.
It is.
Of our deal is that it's here, but how are we going to get to there? It's not May 30th of this year. It's going to be down the road somewhere.
Okay, we'll do that. Wally and I'll set up a meeting.
And because I did find he had sent out the link for the ONC. It's oandc.org. It's
yeah.
The website. It's not up. It's broke.
Oh. Well, I just sent Rocky a text on it, so we'll see what I can get back.
Here it might start coming up.
Well, hopefully it's because of the amount of traffic it's getting.
O-N-C.
O-N-C.
No, it's the one I had.
O-A-N-D-C.org. All I did is hit the link in his email saying here's what it is. But, okay, it did finally come up.
Good.
So I'll get that forwarded out.
I noticed on my phone this morning that there's a business session for Monday, and nobody's going to be here. It's on my phone for this coming Monday.
You mean an actual appointment?
So the board is?
A dog hearing.
Oh, nobody's going to be here.
Yeah,
I won't be here either.
So two of them won't be here, so what do we reschedule? Or I can't do a dog hearing on my own.
Can he if we delegate him to do so?
Sure.
Now the problem is that a decision of one commissioner, if we don't probably have it codified in ordinance without an appeal process, so you would render a decision, and the issue could be appealed to the full board, unless of course we, you know, made a motion right now to say we delegate Commissioner DeYoung to act on the board's behalf. Are you interested in doing that?
I've never done one. It's a dog hearing, thumbs up, thumbs down, correct?
Pretty much. You probably know my opinion on that element. I grew up on a ranch, and dogs are not people. This isn't due process for dogs necessarily. And we had one of those situations. The board last year let a dog live with the intent to have the owner do some things. That the dog jumped out of the owner's car and got into another altercation with either, I think another animal was a people, but it could have been. Could have been people. I don't know. But I know that our animal control officer ended up having to put that dog down in the field when the dog, bit the gun. I mean, this dog should not have been given a second chance. People, in my opinion, have their first chance when they get a dog, when they get a puppy. Something happens and it kills livestock, injures, chases, whatever. That was your chance. Sorry. It isn't the county's responsibility to inherit all that liability if that dog knowingly or chance has done something, could do something to a kid, I couldn't live with myself if I had a chance.
What's the process of them getting to here? Is it a complaint from a citizen followed up by animal
I think
control?
A dog's been incarcerated. I don't know the situation, but there's probably usually an animal's been taken into our custody. He's being held. And the owner of the animal is appealing a decision of the, I bet the director, to probably have the dog put down. And so I don't know all the specifics, but that's typically how it goes.
Dog impounded under the authority of ORS 609.155 for wounding, injuring, killing, or chasing livestock is the topic.
And so they come to the board, they plead their case, and in the past, you know, they've sent one was two dogs. They sent them in two different directions, one to Colorado, one to Washington or something like that. That doesn't avoid the in my opinion, it doesn't. So I'm a 99% of the time. I'm sorry. I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time on this, and I appreciate it's your pet, but this is not how I'm going to go. But that's me. I have a letter formally to the board because I don't participate in them typically. I didn't with the previous board because they didn't get it until finally the dog did something like I predicted, and I think they got it after that. I don't know. They're not here anymore. You guys are here. So.
Well, speaking of this, though, AOC was listed on my calendar as out all day. But it didn't get seen, so I have several conflicts on Monday that need to be rescheduled. But I don't know, I got to kind of meet with you guys, because if something's showing up at the top as far as an all-day event, it's not showing up in the day, and I'm just counting.
It doesn't, which is really challenging. I usually block it out from like 8 to 5.
Yeah.
If it's an all-day event, I just plug it in there, because it's easy to schedule something if it, you know, we've got so many different things up at the top for all-day events, who's on call, blah, blah, blah. I got to get running, get going.
I have to go too.
But what are we going to do on the dog hearing? Do you want to reschedule it, or do you want to do it?
Let's just get it off our plate.
So okay. I would entertain a motion to delegate Commissioner DeYoung to act on the board's behalf in the dog hearing scheduled for Monday, March 11th.
I would make that motion.
It's the 13th, right? March 13th.
Yes.
Is that okay? Do you want to second that, Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
I'm happy to. Or
yes,
okay,
I'll
it's been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? So the motion's been made to delegate Commissioner DeYoung to act on the board's behalf for the dog hearing on March 13th, with that not being an appealable decision to the board. His decision stands. Is that the understanding?
Yes.
Great. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 3-0. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. They're not always easy, but I believe you'll make the right decision. So if there's nothing further, the board is adjourned at 11:42. Thank you.
I'm going to lunch.
I'm glad we did that.
Solve
that problem.
You know what?
It's
if you want to look at a really good multi-use facility for where the fairgrounds would, what they have the problems they have now, look at one in Klamath Falls.
Look at the
event center in Klamath Falls for the rodeos and
the arena.
Yes.
Whoever built that and designed it knew what was going on in small counties as far as rodeos and you know what? Yeah, it's really great.
I hear a road trip.
Hey, tell you, 25th.
Yeah.
Come on to the rodeo. My son's getting his first buckle at 9 years. Grandson.
Really? Yeah.
And grandson is 10. Nine.
Is that rodeo here?
No, it's in Klamath.
It's in Klamath?
Oh, yeah.
It's a great multi-use facility.
Yeah. I'll even buy you a beer.
I don't drink beer anymore. I wish I could.
They'll drink O'Doul's.
Oh.
So, yeah. It's going to fall down soon.
It will. I just get or burned out is what they had. And Commissioner Porter.